Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high should be in the mid-90s. However, the high heat index readings are expected to reach around 103 by the afternoon. For Wednesday evening, partly cloudy skies, low in the mid-70s. The highest heat index should be around 102 early in the evening, Wednesday evening. And then on Thursday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, pretty much the same, high in the mid-90s. And they've got another high heat index readings are expected around 100 to 102 by the afternoon on Thursday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clouds and 75. It's time now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I like some cookies.
Potato chips.
Candy.
Ice cream.
Brownies. Marshmallows.
Cotton candy.
Left to their own devices, children wouldn't always eat right.
Chocolate donuts for breakfast.
I want pizza. Pizza. Pizza.
Popcorn.
That's why they have you.
French fries.
And you have WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food to women, infants, children. It's confidential and free. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. That's 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you.
Pepperoni pizza.
And you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me, sister. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? Progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
that's below
me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tell me, brother, but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And where do we begin? We're going to spend the 9 o'clock hour talking about the Valerie Plame case. All I can say is, isn't it delicious? Isn't it the lovely? I can see it. I can smell it. I can taste it. We're talking about fear in the White House. I don't think George W. Bush was planning on making his announcement of a Supreme Court justice today. Now, the word is, word on the street, the beat on the street, is that the announcement may come as early as today. He's in a fascinating political quandary of his own making. Fallen on his own sword, if you will. If he makes a consensus nomination, a consensus Supreme Court nomination, meaning that one that will have no problem getting through the Senate on either side of the aisle, then he hasn't provided cover for the Valerie Plame story. He can't move the Valerie Plame story off of the front page. It's on the front page of today's papers, on the front pages of all papers. So he can't put out a consensus nominee. Now, if he puts out a super controversial nominee, it may move Plame off of the front page, but he may not get his nominees, may not get his Supreme Court justice. Lord have mercy, what a quandary. Couldn't happen to a nicer fella. What a hoot. What we have right now is a White House that is, again, I've been talking about this, y'all. I know you've been feeling me on this, but feel me more. We're talking about the perfect political storm. People are already starting to get ticked off, or feeling more ticked off, or responding to their ticked offness about this Iraq occupation. It's starting to feel a lot like an occupation to some new to the game. So people are starting to get ticked off. People who have been ticked off are ticked off more. Approval ratings are low, 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 low. We've got this Valerie Plame thing percolating, a story that people can get. People can understand, a story that can be told in a few words. Joseph Wilson was calling Bush a liar. Bush told us there would be a mushroom cloud if we didn't go to war with Iraq. Bush said that we need to go to Iraq because Saddam Hussein went to Africa and got some nuclear weapons. We gotta go to war. Joseph Wilson said, no, that's a lie. No, that's not true. In diplomatic terms, he said, no, that's not true. That's not accurate. That's not correct. George W. Bush's henchman, Karl Rove, did what henchmen do. He henched somebody. He outed her. He outed the wife of Joseph. And said that she was a spy. And outed her. Outed her. So that's an issue of trust. That's an issue of betrayal. It brings back into play, you know what, we shouldn't have gone into this war. It brings back into play the fact that George Bush lied, manufactured, crafted a story about weapons of mass destruction. Is this connected to Downing Street? You betcha, sweet bippy. Oh, yes, indeedy dandy. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Is this connected to the Downing Street memo? Absolutely it is. What's the key word in the Downing Street memo? They fixed the intelligence. They fixed the intelligence around the war to give an excuse to go to war. When the husband of Valerie Plame came out and said, nuh-uh, ain't no, no, he did not go to Africa. Saddam Hussein did not do that. That has a problem when you're trying to fix the intelligence around the war. That was part of fixing the intelligence around the war. They lied about Africa. They lied about weapons of mass destruction. That's what fixing means. Fixing the intelligence. How do you keep somebody silent? You distract them. You put their wife in jeopardy. He'll shut up. He won't say that no more. I'm out your wife. You'll shut up and sit down. Good golly, it didn't turn out that way. Didn't turn out that way. So now George W. Bush is in this fascinating place that we've all been in when we were in sixth grade or fifth grade. George W. Bush on Monday said, anybody that leaked a name, I'm going to fire him. Anybody that leaked the name, I'm going to fire him. And tonight, today he's saying, well, anybody who leaked a name that had on a blue shirt and a yellow tie and said, yelly, yelly, wham, wham, three fingers up on a second Tuesday of the fourth month when the moon was quarter, that person will go to jail. But if we can't find that person, then nobody's going to jail. George W. Bush is now saying that, well, if he broke the law, he's going to go to jail, huh? That's a far cry from if you leaked intelligence, if you leaked the name, anybody in my White House that does that, because this is a White House that hates leakers. Ain't nothing worser than a leaker. This is a White House that hates. Now, I don't know if you all are feeling it this way, but I'm feeling it this way. We have a White House that has said, no. H-E double toothpicks, no, you cannot have the names of the people that are at our energy meeting. You can't have those names. No, 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 you can't. Secrecy. Secrecy is important. You feel me? This is a White House that has put the S in, put a capital S in secrecy. They have prided themselves on their clandestine efforts and actions and practices. They have demanded that, everybody understands loose lips sink ships. Well, baby, we got some loose lips out there. Let's sink some ships. And this is a twofer. It's not a one-fer, it's a twofer. Not only is it Karl Rove, but it's also Dick Cheney's main man. It's a twofer. We can get both of them. This is a perfect storm. This is a perfect storm that is a brewing. When George W. Bush faced White House reporters on Wednesday, something he doesn't like to do anyway, it was a different world. He dodged questions on Rove. That's his boy. Some kind of excrement is the name that he calls Karl Rove. What is it? Some kind of referring to excrement is his nickname for Karl Rove. I'm going to remember the name. I just remember what it was and found it ironic. But he had nothing positive to say about his excrement friend. He dodged questions on Rove. Rove was, I guess it takes nothing like a little bit of scandal to wipe the smirk off your face. They're smirkless today. They're running a little low on smirks today. Rove was sitting, as this one report said, white or pale and tight-lipped. Pale and tight-lipped. No smirks. No smirks. And what is interesting, what is missing, what is fascinating about this is Bush normally has something loyal to say about his boys and girls. Nothing this morning. 454-0400. White House in a panic. And one of the things that George W. Bush said, and this is scary. He said that he was, this is so scary. This is so scary. When asked who he would be considering for the Supreme Court of the United States, he said, well, I'm not necessarily looking at judges. I may go outside of the legal field and point somebody else to serve as on the Supreme Court that wasn't a judge. Oh, Jesus God. What, Jerry Falwell? Dobson? Focus on the family? Now, I think that the snobs on the Supreme Court would have a bit of an attitude about that. I think Rehnquist and Scalia would have a super attitude if he did that, but he has said it. And that show would take the heat off of his boy, Karl Rove. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
Miss Brown, let me ask you a question on this spin they trying to put on this guy who's out of this agent. They trying to say that he didn't mention his the guy's wife's name.
Karl Rove did not mention her name. He said
right.
The wife of Mr. Wilson. Yes.
So if a victim pick out a photograph or in a lineup, or pick out, seal it in a lineup under a corresponding number, do that make that invalid?
No, it does not.
So
it's still an ID.
It's still an ID.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me.
Morning, St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Xantrax 3. Eastbound 70 and 94 Blanchard Bridge, major road construction. Two left lanes are closed. Traffic is slow through Highway 94. Eastbound 40 at Vandermeer, that exit is closed through August due to construction work. You can use Kings Highway Market or Grand to get around that area. Eastbound 44 at 109 in Guyer, nothing to report. Eastbound 40 between 94 and Mason Road, everything's on the move. Eastbound 70 from Earth City Expressway to Jennings Station Road, look for no problems to report there. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way to 55, expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 from 55 to Big Bend, everything looks good this hour. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge to Old Halls Ferry, nothing to report there. Westbound 55 split from 3rd Street to the Poplar Street Bridge, nothing going on there. Westbound 64 from 111, which is Kings Highway over on the Illinois side, all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge, everything seems to be on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split to Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Route 3 from Queenie onto the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems there. Eastbound 50 at 44, look for an accident on the shoulder. And westbound 255 from Illinois 157, look for road construction. Various lanes will be closed due to replacing and correcting the expansion joints over the Prairie du Mont diversion channel. Two lanes will remain open at all times. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Xantrax 3, the most powerful weight loss diet pill in America. Xantrax 3, more weight loss, faster weight loss, energy to burn. Xantrax 3, yes, at stores nationwide, or log on to Xantrax3.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, partly sunny, a 20% chance of showers, a high in the lower 90s. This evening, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low in the lower 70s. Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much the same, hot and humid on both days, partly cloudy on both days, a 20% chance of showers on both days, highs in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 103 in the afternoon on Wednesday and 102 on Thursday. So use caution and keep it right here. We'll let you know what the heat index and how to take care of it. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 76 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. But if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance, from a car phone, or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
I am female and Muslim. Before the occupation, I more or less dressed the way I wanted to. I lived in jeans and cotton pants and comfortable shirts. Now I don't dare leave the house in pants. A long skirt and a loose shirt, preferably with long sleeves, has become necessary. A girl wearing jeans risks being attacked, abducted, or insulted by fundamentalists who have been liberated. Fathers and mothers are keeping their daughters stashed safe at home. That's why you see so few females in the streets, especially after 4 p.m. Others are making their daughters, wives, and sisters wear hijab, not to oppress them, but to protect them. I lost my job for a similar reason. Girls are being made to quit college and school. My 14-year-old cousin, a straight-A student, is going to have to repeat the year because her parents decided to keep her home since the occupation. Why? Because the Supreme Council of the Islamic Revolution in Iraq took over an office next to our school and opened up a special bureau. Men in black turbans stand around the gates of the bureau in clusters, scanning the girls and teachers entering the secondary school. The dark, frowning features stand ogling, leering, and sometimes jeering at the ones not wearing a hijab or whose skirts aren't long enough. In some areas, girls risk being attacked with acid if their clothes aren't proper.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
The blue skies go, poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and south. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be lost, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh,
welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. I just have to take 1 second here to talk about the emails that I'm getting and the visits that my website, just my one little web page is getting. I have had visitors from all over the world, from Saudi Arabia, from Denmark, from Finland, from Ghana, all over the world, and New York, and Oregon, and Washington, and California. It's just, it's been really kind of amazing and breathtaking to see what is happening with the page that I have up, and with what we're doing so far, because right now all we have is the page up. My new column is up. They Are All Precious is my column. And I encourage you to read it at lizbrown.com. But I'm very excited for what's coming up on August 1st when we launch the official website with the blog and with a completed website. We'll have the blog, we'll have continue to have Through Brown Eyes, my column, but we're going to have guest columnists. We are going to have a lot of fun stuff on the website. And I'm really kind of just amazed at how many hits White Rose is getting, how many hits the website is getting, and how many people are out there staying with us. I got a beautiful email from a brother from Ghana who talked about how he's really changed, how he looks at people, at black folks in America as a result of listening to the show. So it's very gratifying, and I appreciate your attention, and I appreciate your interest. I found my column, last week's column, posted on other people's websites. It's very gratifying. So keep on visiting at lizbrown.com, LIZZBROWN.com. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. The long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. The email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live at www.wgnu.net. Get to me. Cell phone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I want to tell you, one page of yours is booming, so I can't wait for August 1st to come. And I want to thank you for allowing us to get your shows later, because I start work right at 7, so I miss the rest of your show. So I do go to White Rose daily now and get that, which takes up 2 hours of my day, sometimes 3 hours listening to your whole show. And I want to tell you the show you had on last Thursday, I think, before last?
Yeah.
That was powerful. Boy, if that doesn't...
That's riveting. That's riveting, isn't it? It
was. Let me tell you, I downloaded it. I put it on CD so people can put it in their car. I gave out about 4 of them, and each one of them had the same look on their face that I did. My lip just hit the ground.
There you go.
And lastly, the Seventh-day Adventists had their conference here several weeks ago, and they talked about St. Louis so bad. They say when they came out there, they spent $10 million in 10 days, and when they came out of the conference, downtown St. Louis was so dead. They rolled it up at 5 o'clock, went nothing for their people to do.
That's
and
right.
Then Mayor Slane, them trying to say, well, we just opened up another bar in Washington.
For the Seventh Day Adventist, we opened up another bar.
Yeah.
There is nothing to do downtown.
Nothing.
There is nothing.
And
here's the other piece of it. And Alderwoman Irene J. Smith always talked about this, that it's not like Chicago. Chicago has downtown Chicago, but then they have all of these wonderful neighborhoods that have been financially supported that you can go visit and do things in. The city of St. Louis does nothing to support any neighborhoods outside of South St. Louis. Now, I'm not talking about housing starts. I'm talking about business investments. You opening up a bar on Washington Avenue, why aren't there restaurants in the north side?
That is so true.
You know, there is not one single sit-down restaurant, fancy restaurant, in North St. Louis. Not one.
And you are correct, because when I do travel, go to New York, Philadelphia, all these cities, Tennessee, Oklahoma, I mean, all over the country, they got these neighborhoods that are thriving enough to draw people
there
comfortably. But as long as we keep it separated, just like, I guess that's what they want, this is what they're going to get, because the NCAA dogged them out, too. So, again,
I don't understand. People, conventions will stop coming here. I don't know why they came here to begin with, because there is nothing to do. Clayton rolls up its streets at 9 o'clock.
Sure does.
Downtown St. Louis rolls up its streets. And even when the street is unfurled, there is not a whole lot to do if you're not 18 and into the bar scene.
And
for real.
Then if you're not working downtown, what is it to do?
I remember.
I haven't spent a penny downtown in 12 years.
Fact. And I mean, I remember when I went to Atlanta back in 1984. I remember walking down the streets of Atlanta and just being astounded by all of the black men in suits that were walking up and down the street, how Peachtree Avenue was just booming. You walk down the street of downtown St. Louis at 11 o'clock in the morning, you would swear that downtown is closed. You would swear that nobody lives downtown.
I guess we're part of the Boot Hill. Have a good day.
At least they can say, well, we're the Boot Hill. They don't have that expectation of us. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Oh, Lord, we have much to talk about. Much to talk about. Get to me. We're going to take this break, and then we're going to be right back. So stay with me.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline New Delhi. Officials with the Indian government say Washington is putting pressure on them not to make an agreement with Iran for construction of a 2,000-mile-long natural gas pipeline between those two nations. The project would be completed by the year 2009, but the Bush administration feels it would enable Iran to fund efforts to step up its military, its nuclear weapons program, and in turn lead to military cooperation with India. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice directly communicated the administration's concerns about the gas pipeline project when she visited India earlier this year. In a related story, Iran and Kuwait have finalized a pact that allows Kuwait to receive natural gas for the next 25 years. The agreement is worth about $7 billion and will provide 10 million cubic meters a day of natural gas to Kuwait. Iran has the second largest reserves of natural gas in the world. And Dateline New York. In the latest edition of the New Yorker magazine, reporter Seymour Hersh says the United States is extensively planning for an attack into Iran. Hersh says the goal of the administration is to identify and isolate about 36 targets that could be destroyed by precision airstrikes and/or commando raids. These missions are being authorized to keep down possible embarrassment in case military action does develop there. Hersh says his information has come from people inside the administration who want to prevent an incursion into Iran. A State Department spokesperson says Hersh's information is full of inaccuracies. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
Check out Off the Wall Wednesdays every week at Keener Plaza in downtown St. Louis. Pre-show activities begin at 7 p.m., leading to a family-friendly movie on the 40-foot outdoor screen at 8:30. The movie for July 27th will be Casablanca. Bring chairs or a blanket, food and beverages will be available for purchase. Something to do on Hump Day from WGNU.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry, call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Peace of mind, all we need. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
That's good. That's good. I wanted to comment on the last caller. That is definitely something I wanted to mention as well. St. Louis really is closed, to be honest. I used to live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I moved back in 2001. I moved there in 1998. And it just seemed like, I don't know, it just don't seem like this city is going nowhere, you know. So how can I get a copy of that Thursday program that he was talking about?
WhiteRoseSociety.org.
White Rose.
Society.
That's Rose, R-A-D-S?
No, the flower, R-O-S-E.
Oh, okay, Rose, okay. Society.com, okay.
.org,
okay. .org. Okay, so, yeah, I just wanted to comment on that.
All right, because, thanks for your call.
Okay, then.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Brown.
Good morning, Korean veteran.
Ms. Brown, I've been to your website. And as the people say, it was off the hook. And I tell you, it was quite riveting what I believe the gentleman was, Gregory and Mr. Fernandez or whatever his name was. But before we had, Ms. Brown, before we had a lot of televisions amongst the people, working people and so forth, years ago we used to sit by the radio. And as the different programs came on mentally, you could see everything, you know, in your mind, mentally. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was with the gentleman telling about the trade buildings.
Yes, that it was. That's
I
exactly
was sitting
right.
here, and I just listened to him. And in my mind, I could see all of these things. It was very profound and riveting because I could see the gas. I could hear the knocks on the doors, and I could see it all in my mind. It carried me back, so I just want you to know you are three or four steps ahead of all other news.
Thanks for your call.
All right, thank you.
It was a riveting show. Last Thursday's show was just, it was absolutely riveting. But it's not the only show out there. It's not the only story out there that's not being told. And on Monday yesterday, we had the president of Trans Africa, on. And he was talking about what was going on and what happened in the G8 summit. But I've had him on before to talk, and one of the things that he said yesterday was this, that he did not want to diminish what the loss of lives, what happened in London, the loss of lives, 59 lives now, we're up to 59. But having said that, we get back to the question of whose life is valuable, what loss of life is acceptable. And what everybody has missed, or far too many people have missed, not everybody, but far too many people have missed, is that the UN slaughtered dozens and dozens of people in Haiti just last week. 50 Haitians. And the world is silent. No major headlines. No notice. No front page write-ups in the New York Times. Is it about the crime, or is it about those that stand accused of the crime? UN forces slaughtered 50 Haitians. And 5,000 people are in the street to protest this. We had a moment of silence for the slaughter of people who lived in London. We had a moment of silence. 50 people and 5,000 people came out to protest that. These are amazing times that we live in. Hurtful times. That the value of your life is determined by the amount of pigment your skin contains. That you give up on a group of people based upon the amount of pigment in their skin. Throw your hands up. 5,000 people marched in protest of the slaughter of Haitian people by UN forces. And the world turns its head and looks towards Europe. Oh, we have so much stuff to talk about. We have so much stuff to talk about. You really don't want to miss tomorrow or next hour's show. Not the 7 o'clock show, the 8 o'clock show. When I'm talking about suicide bombers, you're going to be shocked at the information. You're going to be shocked at what exactly a suicide bomber is and what the common factor and suicide of a suicide bomber. It's not what you have been told. It is not what you have been told. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'll be back in the 7 o'clock hour to take your calls, your questions, and your comments. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have much to talk about.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress
address is healing the wound. That's below me.
I'm hearing revolution in the air, to my brother. Stop the
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. A hurricane warning is posted along the lower Texas Gulf Coast with Emily on the way. The warning covers South Padre Island and coastal areas down to the Mexican border. This woman on South Padre Island admits she's scared, but...
I think it'll be all right. You know, most of the people around here don't seem too worried about it, so, you know, I'm kind of getting that way, too.
Windows are boarded up, RVs have left the beach, and Terry Robinson drove down from South Carolina with a trailer full of generators.
Yeah, we've sold quite a bit. Half of our inventory is gone. People are just kind of waiting things out to see, you know, if they really need that generator or not.
Hurricane Emily could come ashore along the Mexico-Texas line by late tonight. A murky blanket of hot, humid weather stretches across much of the east, and in the west there are warnings about possible brownouts because of the heat wave. This woman in San Dimas, California, says she finally got some relief from the heat at night.
The sun went down and then the trees nice and shady, and so cool, relaxing.
Arizona is another hot spot with record-setting temps and no relief in sight. Hewlett-Packard announced today it will cut more than 14,000 jobs. That's about 10% of its full-time staff. It's part of the plan to save money and boost business performance. ABC News has learned an announcement about President Bush's Supreme Court nominee could come as early as today, following a meeting last night. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
When Senate Judiciary Chairman Arlen Specter arrived late and euphoric to a staff softball game, he confirmed to ABC News he had just met with the president about the Supreme Court nomination process. The White House aides are not returning phone calls about it.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is one of the people named as a possible nominee. This is ABC News.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
40 pilots in Northern California are under arrest. ABC's Alex Stone explains why.
Some of the pilots were in command of airliners. They claimed to be medically fit to fly, but they were also receiving disability payments for illnesses like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and alcohol addiction, all of which should have kept them grounded. The U.S. Attorney's Office says the investigation started as a Homeland Security project to find people who were using stolen or fake Social Security numbers. And they stumbled upon pilots who were behind the controls of planes while collecting money for disability.
Alex Stone in Los Angeles. California officials have resumed issuing medical marijuana ID cards. The ID program was suspended for a week and a half for legal consultations after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the medical use of pot. Retired General William Westmoreland, a major figure from the Vietnam War, died last night. His son says Westmoreland, 91, devoted his last years to veterans' causes. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, an elderly North St. Louis man is safe after going missing. 70-year-old Booker T. Moore, who authorities describe as mentally disabled, had not been seen since 1:30 a.m. Sunday until he turned up yesterday at a hospital. Moore is reported to be in good condition. The cleanup continues at the burned-out Praxair site. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay says he stands behind his belief that the gas distribution company belongs elsewhere in the city.
Praxair officials know that, and we need to make sure that the site gets cleaned up as quickly as possible, but also as efficiently as possible. We do not want them to leave anything there that doesn't belong, and we certainly want to make sure that no flammables are sold from that location again in the future.
Slay says he has not met individually with area residents, but members of his staff have been talking to residents and the environmental officials who are working on the cleanup. An explosive fire at the facility last month sent debris flying as far as three city blocks. Residents say it's time for the company to move before another accident happens and someone is killed. The American Dental Association and the Centers for Disease Control report one-third of the communities in the United States don't have fluoridated water. Dr. William Maz, the director for the Division of Oral Health Care for the CDC, says more than 75% of Illinois and Missouri residents have fluoridated water. This year marks the 60th anniversary of community water fluoridation. Finally this hour, the Cardinals will be without outfielder Reggie Sanders an estimated 4 to 6 weeks after placing him on the 15-day disabled list yesterday. Sanders suffered a non-displaced hairline fracture of his right fibula when he collided with Jim Edmonds in the first inning of Friday's game against Houston. The Cardinals have promoted outfielder John Rodriguez from AAA Memphis to take Sanders' spot on the roster. The left-handed hitting Rodriguez went 1-for-5 with a single and a run scored in last night's win over the Brewers. This WGNU News report is brought to you by Tropicana Pure Premium. Every glass of Tropicana is a good source of heart-healthy potassium, so drink up and have a Tropicana morning. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock a.m., 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Northbound 270 and 44, there's an accident partially blocking the right westbound exit lane of 44. Traffic is bumper to bumper from 44 to Marshall Road as a result. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer, look for head off ramp being closed till August due to construction work. Use Kings Highway Market or Grand exits to get around that area. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. The left lane is closed. Northbound 55 from 270 to 4500 South Broadway, expect no problems this hour. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge to 270, nothing to report. Eastbound 40 at Spady, look for very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry all the way into West Florissant, look for very heavy volume as well. Eastbound 40 at Mason, look for that traffic starting to build this hour. Your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 split slows from 3rd Street all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 at 5570, nothing to report. And westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything looks good. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Orkin Man. Did you know that one roach could represent 200 others inside your walls? The Orkin Man knows and can help de-roach your home. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Today, partly sunny skies, 20% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm. High in the lower 90s this evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers and thunderstorms with a low in the lower 70s. Moving on to Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much the same straight through, hot and humid, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers. In the afternoon, the highs on Wednesday will be in the mid-90s. However, the high heat index reading is expected to be around 103 by late afternoon. Moving on to the evening hours, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. The high heat index is expected to be around 102 in the evening on Wednesday evening. Then the same for Thursday, hot and humid, partly cloudy. High in the mid-90s, the heat index should reach around 102 in the afternoon on Thursday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, We have 76 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, tell me the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU, and my email is revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. Yes, we have much to talk about. We have much, much, much to talk about. And don't forget, check out my website, Liz Brown, LizBrown.com. Check out my new column this week. I know that we're going to discuss this in the next hour, or the hour after the next. But I really have to share this with you. It's a letter from the ranking minority member, Henry A. Waxman. And it's a letter to George W. Bush. It says, "Dear George W. Bush, in June 2004, you said that you would fire anyone found to be involved in the disclosure of Valerie Wilson's identity as a covert CIA agent. Today, you significantly changed your position, stating that you would remove Karl Rove or any other Washington officials involved in the security breach only, quote, if someone committed a crime. Your new standard is not consistent with your obligations to enforce the Executive Order 12958, which governs the protection of national security secrets. The executive order, and remember, this is an executive order signed by George W. Bush, states, officers and employees of the United States government shall be subject to appropriate sanctions if they knowingly, willfully, or negligently disclose to unauthorized persons information properly classified. Under the executive order, the available and sanctions include a reprimand, a suspension without pay, removal, termination of classified authority, loss of denial of access to classified information, or other sanctions." So, what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is a failure to communicate. George W. Bush is saying he will remove Karl Rove only if someone committed a crime. Excuse me? You have an executive order 12958 that says that you can fire him, you can reprimand him, saying that you can remove him from his position. You can remove him from having access to classified information. You can do all that. What's the holdup, babe? Well, what's the holdup? He has now redefined, George W. Bush has now redefined what is. Hadn't he? I thought you were going to fire somebody if they were involved in a leak. Now you're saying, I'm only going to fire someone if they're holding the smoking gun and there's a videotape of them firing it and the videotape has been authenticated. That's what you're saying. Instead of saying, it's him, he did wrong, he's got to go. And one of the things that is very interesting about what's going on is that not only is the approval rating of George W. Bush plummeting, but the whole concept of honesty is plummeting as well. It's down to 27% of the people believe that George W. Bush is telling the truth. It was 47% just a few handful of months ago. I was the only girl in my family and came from a fairly strict background. My father's single parent, military guy. He pounded it into my head, being the only girl. Your reputation. You always are concerned about your reputation. Don't do anything that's going to affect your reputation. Well, George, you know, maybe your daddy should have said that to you, because it's your reputation. Is your reputation that of honesty? Is your reputation that of truthfulness? And people are starting to get it. Your reputation, you got a bad reputation out here. And nothing good can come of a bad reputation. Nothing good can come of a bad reputation. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I got a question. Front page story. Relatively front page story. The guy who bombed buildings, the guy who killed people in the bombings of the buildings, the guy who was unrepentant in his bombing and slashing and burning and killing, the guy who killed a cop, Eric Rudolph. I did a word search. Eric Rudolph and terrorists. Didn't come up with any hits in any major newspapers. In case you don't know, and it's fascinating that a lot of you wouldn't even know this, don't even know this man, Eric Rudolph. You don't know him despite the fact that he said, abortion must be fought with deadly force. Children are disposed of at will, jabbing his finger in the air. This is a man that set off a remote control bomb at an abortion clinic that killed an off-duty police officer and maimed a nurse. Now, in Birmingham, Alabama, this man did not get the death penalty. He received two life sentences without parole. Now, this isn't his only bombing. He is a serial bomber. He bombed the Olympic for the Olympic Games and two other attacks in Atlanta. He spent more than 5 years on the run in North Carolina. He was captured in 2003 while scavenging for food behind a grocery store. He said what they did was to participate in the murder of 50 children a week. Abortion is murder, and because I believe it is murder, I believe deadly force is needed to stop it. Help me with the distinction of that between what they say that Saddam Hussein says. What's the difference? But yet, this man is not on the front page, as branded as a terrorist. It's just absolutely not about the crime. It absolutely is those who stand accused of it. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. He's guilty of the Olympic bombing that killed one woman and injured more than 100 people. He's guilty, pleading guilty to a 1997 bombing at an abortion clinic and at a gay bar in Atlanta. And he's not called. a terrorist. He's not called a terrorist. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. Whew, we have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
yes, good morning. I wanted to comment on this terrorist, Eric Rudolph. Now, you notice he got two life sentences without the possibility of parole. Now, the death sentence wasn't even in the mix because this former John Ashcroft, now, he would have been the one who would have the say-so whether or not that would have been one of his charges,
no,
the death penalty.
No, he pled guilty to state charges as well as federal charges, and the state of Alabama had the authority to give him the death penalty if they wanted to. There were state charges and federal charges.
Well, I thought that John Ashcroft had the ability to do that.
As the Attorney General, he did, but also the state had the authority to do that as well.
But he's above all of those. He was the United States person in charge, John Ashcroft. Well, she had the authority to say that this guy should get the death penalty. He had no problem with John Lee Malvo and John Allen Muhammad. They were supposedly terrorists, and he had no problem with giving them the death penalty. But when it came to this other man, Eric Rudolph, he didn't even put that in the mix. So I was just going to say, it's not about the crime. It's those who stand accused of the crime, because there's this glaring evidence that that's what it's about. And also, I wanted to ask you if your guest that's going to be coming up talking about the so-called suicide bombers in Iraq, would you ask him if he has talked to some of the people who would know, what do they call themselves? That's always been of interest to me, because I can't imagine them calling themselves suicide bombers. So I would appreciate it if you could ask him, what do they call themselves?
All right.
And I would like to close with this. I think people are really, really, really getting it. Taxation without representation. Thank you.
4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 4540400 is my phone number. There's a report coming out of the Times UK, and it's not good about Iraq. It's not good. A Shia leader declared yesterday that Iraq is slipping into an all-out civil war as suicide bombers slaughtered more than 150 people over the weekend. If that's not a civil war, I don't know what it is. Iraqi security forces have been overwhelmed by the scale of the suicide bombings, 11 on Friday alone. 11 on Friday alone. What is truly happening, what shall happen, is clear. And they're saying it's a war against the Shias. 100 people, one bomb, 100 people, 150 people over the weekend. These are astonishing times. These are astonishing times and dangerous times. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We have so much stuff to talk about. 4540400 is the phone number. 4546609 is the fax. We're going to take a break. You need to get to me. The number here is 4540400. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Eastbound 70, between 94 and Blanthead Bridge, Major Road Construction has two left lanes are the only ones that are open, and traffic's backed up east of Zumville. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer off-ramp is closed until August due to construction work. Look for Kings Highway, Market, or Grand exits to get around that construction area. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge all the way into 270. Slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 from Newhalls Ferry to West Florissant is heavy. Then it's slow from in the right lane all the way to 170. Northbound 270 on either side of 44, you have slow volume there. Eastbound 40 slows from 141 to Mason Road. Eastbound 40 from 70 to Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 split between the 3rd Street and Poplar Street Bridge. Everything is on the move there. Westbound 64 at 5570 split, nothing to report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Laclede's Landing all the way from Illinois to Laclede's Landing, look for no problems to report there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Employee pricing is a good idea, but with vehicles like this, it's pure genius. Now everyone gets the employee discount, plus generous cash allowances on select models. See your participating Chrysler dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, partly sunny skies, a 20% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorms, high in lower 90s. For this evening, look forward to partly cloudy skies, another chance for showers, low in the lower 70s. Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much the same, hot and humid, partly cloudy on both days. A chance for showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon on both days high in the mid-90s. On Wednesday, a highest heat index is expected to be around 103 in the afternoon. On Thursday, the highest heat index is expected to be around 102 in the afternoon. Use caution, dress lightly, and drink plenty of water. That will help you avoid some of the heat-related illnesses. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 76 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 11 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 920 AM. 5:30 Sunday nights, sponsored by the St. Charles Lwanga Center.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, but the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to the shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
To me, summer is family time. A time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do. Which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
I am female and Muslim. Before the occupation, I more or less dressed the way I wanted to. I lived in jeans and cotton pants and comfortable shirts. Now I don't dare leave the house in pants. A long skirt and a loose shirt, preferably with long sleeves, has become necessary. A girl wearing jeans risks being attacked, abducted, or insulted by fundamentalists who have been liberated. Fathers and mothers are keeping their daughters' stash safe at home. That's why you see so few females in the streets, especially after 4 p.m. Others are making their daughters, wives, and sisters wear hijab, not to oppress them, but to protect them. I lost my job for a similar reason. Girls are being made to quit college and school. My 14-year-old cousin, a straight-A student, is going to have to repeat the year because her parents decided to keep her home since the occupation. Why? Because the Supreme Council of the Islamic Revolution in Iraq took over an office next to our school and opened up a special bureau. Men in black turbans stand around the gates of the bureau in clusters, scanning the girls and teachers entering the secondary school. The dark, frowning features stand ogling, leering, and sometimes jeering at the ones not wearing hijab or whose skirts aren't long enough. In some areas, girls risk being attacked with acid if their clothes aren't proper.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Ms. Bryant.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill on that ladder of success.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up, get to me. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Well, I don't know if this is a conflict or not. I don't know if this is a problem or not, but I do know this. I know it looks stinky. It looks really, really stinky. It looks unfair. It looks wrong. It looks wrong. Walmart hires Justice Scalia's son as their attorney. Walmart hires Justice Scalia's son, who is an attorney, to fend off lawsuits claiming that it illegally fired
corporate whistleblowers. They've hired Scalia's son, and it gets worse. It's not that he's just Scalia's son. It's not that Scalia's son is a lawyer. But Scalia's son was the former chief lawyer for the Department of Labor. He is the former chief lawyer for the Department of Labor. And the Walmart is being sued by three whistleblowers. What did the whistleblowers blow on? Three former employees claim that they were fired for reporting misdeeds within the companies. What's one of the misdeeds? Well, relying on Latin American suppliers who forced women to take pregnancy tests. They blew the whistle on that. They blew the whistle on using staff members at a Texas optical laboratory to do car repairs for the supervisors. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? So they hired the guy who was the son of the Chief Justice of the United States, a Justice of the United States, a justice who went camping with Dick Cheney while he was deciding the energy case. And Scalia said, that one, there ain't no conflict of interest in that. I ain't stepping off this case. So we already have a chief justice that says it really, basically, nothing I do could be considered conflict of interest. So they hire his son, who was the lawyer, chief lawyer for the Department of Labor, to defend against whistleblowers. Jareed Brown, a former Walmart vice president, James Lynn, a mid-level manager at Walmart who oversaw inspections at Walmart suppliers in Central and Latin America, and Ricky Armstrong, a quality control auditor who was at the Walmart Optical Laboratory in Dallas, were fired for misconduct. That's what the Walmart is saying, not for sniffing out any wrongdoing. So they've accused them of, one person was fired for fraternizing with a female subordinate. Now remember, this is Walmart. This is Walmart that has the largest lawsuit in the history of class action lawsuits, all women, and how women were treated. So just is it possible? Is it possible that Walmart would fire somebody for fraternizing with a female employee when Walmart has already demonstrated that it doesn't give a doggone about female employees based upon the largest class action suit, 1 million people in the history of the world, women against Walmart? That's just kind of hard to believe. And the other person, Bowen, they said that they fired him for doctoring a college transcript on a job application. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. You need to get up. Walmart says that that's the reason that they fire these people. It's just coincidence. It's just coincidence. Walmart is looking at this as war. They're saying, if you try to blow the whistle on us, we're going to call the crankiest junkyard dog in the neighborhood, and we're going to have him defend us against you. And there's a quote about it that I want to share with you. Only in Walmart's America Can they think it's right to hire Eugene Scalia to defend them against the same whistleblower law he was supposed to help enforce at the Department of Labor? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. My number here is 454-0400. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
Better mind your manners. Better change your tone. Don't you threaten me, son. You got a lot of gold. With one or two things my way.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Citizens in Iraq are getting so fed up with the constant suicide attacks that they have now begun barricading themselves in their homes and are starting to form their own militias because they've lost confidence in the ability of the Iraqi police and other security forces to keep the peace. A member of the new parliament has called for militias to be created because of the failure of the defense and interior ministries to make the country secure. At least two Shiite political movements have already formed powerful armies. In one section of Baghdad, a neighborhood watch program has been started, and armed members walk the streets from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. watching for trouble. Residents of other areas have blocked off streets to try and discourage the car bombings. And Dateline Lagos. A horrible crisis is developing in the southern portion of the country of Niger. About 3.5 million people are facing food shortages, and tens of thousands of children are in the advanced stages of starvation. A drought is also underway, and a locust plague has destroyed many of the foods that were harvested from last year. Niger is a vast desert country and one of the poorest on the planet. World aid agencies say the hunger in Niger was predicted last year, but an organized response has started way too late. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 8 years old.
I am 40... Wait, is this important?
I'm in the second grade.
I work in an office.
I learn a lot of stuff.
I file papers, read emails, and...
I have recess twice a day.
I also have a special little friend.
I have a favorite grandma and a special lady friend.
I am a mentor to an amazing little girl.
I like her. Her name's Carol.
Her name's Lakeisha.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis public schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
I know how to say I love you in Spanish.
Your computer can bring you the gospel voice of choice every weekend online at WGNU.net.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability. Tuesday morning at 8, our guest will be Professor Robert Pape from the University of Chicago. His new book, The Logic of Suicide Terrorism, points out the erroneous perceptions most Americans have about the motivation behind terrorism. He says it has nothing to do with Islamic fundamentalism. Rather, it addresses the concept of foreign occupation. He also says that in 1996, Osama bin Laden said the United States had a plan to conquer Iraq, divide it into thirds, and give a portion to Israel, and do the same thing to Saudi Arabia. Are we playing right into his hands? Dying to Win with Professor Robert Pape, Tuesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Why don't we?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz?
Yes.
I see no difference. I do see some difference because it's a larger scale between Walmart and Snooks. If on the scale, I would rather trade with Walmart than Snooks for many reasons. And for the mom and pop stores, most of the mom and pop stores in my area are owned by mostly Middle Easterners who do not have respect for me when I go in those stores. Similar to the Park of Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Most of,
so you're saying that you feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I guess that's something that is kind of unique to the city of St. Louis in terms of the type of opportunities that people have. Although you have to drive outside of the city of St. Louis to get to a Walmart. So there are other stores besides Schnucks outside of the city of St. Louis. There aren't any Walmarts in the city of St. Louis.
Yeah, that's true, and that's why I don't go to Schnucks, really.
Okay, but you don't have to go to Schnucks. If you're driving outside of the city limits to get to a Walmart, you can drive outside the city limits and get to another grocery store that is not a Walmart and that is not a Schnucks.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean it's not just Snooks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I understand if you were landlocked in the city of St. Louis, or you were unable to drive outside of the city limits of St. Louis, and you were stuck with only having the opportunity to shop at that type of a store, Snooks, that being Snooks, but you don't. You drive, and you
mm-hmm.
So if you're driving to Walmart, you can drive to another grocery store.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Because
okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about in our next hour. We're going to be talking to Associate Professor of Political Science, Robert Pape, and he is going to be talking about so-called suicide bombers. Who are they? What are their religious affiliation? Does religion factor into their decision making? Do they intend to die when they are bombing? What are their intentions? Do they have a political agenda when they do this? Do they have a religious agenda when they do this? Are they males? Are they females? Are they from one part of the country? Are they Muslim? Are they Christian? All of those questions. And I think that this particular discussion is something that is very timely, given the fact that all of us probably have one time or another in recent months have used the term suicide bomber. So let's define what a suicide bomber is, and define its impact, and define its a person's agenda that is a suicide bomber. And we're going to be doing that in the next hour with Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Chicago, Robert Pate. He's written this book, and it's a pretty good book. It's a pretty informative book. I was surprised that nothing like this had data like this has not been analyzed before like this. So I'm looking forward to that in the next hour. Robert Pate, Associate Professor of Political Science. A controversial fly on the wall account of the Iraq War by one of Britain's most senior former diplomats has been blocked by Downing Street and the Foreign Office. Jeremy Greenstock, the UK ambassador to the UN during the build-up of the 2003 occupation and the Prime Minister's special envoy to Iraq in its aftermath, wants to publish The Cost of War, and Downing Street is stopping him. An extract seen by The Observer, the British paper, has seen an excerpt, and they say that Greenstock, Sir Jeremy Greenstock, describes the American decision to go to war as, and I quote, politically illegitimate, end quote. He also says that the UN negotiations never rose over the level of awkward diversion for the U.S. administration. Although he admits that, quote, honorable decisions were made to remove the threat of Saddam, the opportunities of the post-conflict period were dissipated in poor policy analysis and narrow-minded execution. Who is Sir Jeremy Greenstock? He's regarded as a career diplomat of impeccable integrity during his time in the post-invasion Iraq. Officials who have seen the book are understood to have been deeply shocked over the way Greenstock has quoted widely from, quote, privileged private conversations with Tony Blair, Foreign Secretary Jack Straw, and from the private deliberations of the UN Security Council. Greenstock has been asked to remove all of these sections from the book before it can be cleared for publication. Quote, I think some people are really quite surprised that Sir Jeremy has done this. In the particular, the way he has quoted private conversations with the Prime Minister. Huh. And Greenstock is said to be scathing about Bremer and U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Greenstock's British publishers, Random House, were tight-lipped, but it is thought that the book is almost certain not to be published in the autumn as planned. Huh. Huh. They ain't publishing its book. Because nobody looks good in it. Nobody looks good in it. Whoo! This is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break at the top of the news hour, but we'll be back with author Robert Pate, professor of political science at the University of Chicago, to talk about what is a suicide bomber. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. It is time for us to use our power.
was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. It could come as early as today, President Bush's announcement of a Supreme Court nominee. There are a number of women on the list to replace retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, including Judge Edith Clement.
She's a judge on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. He met with her on Saturday. She received a call from the White House counsel last night, and a lot of people around the White House now believe she is the top choice.
ABC News political correspondent George Stephanopoulos. So what about Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez?
He is a very close friend with the president, but it could be easier for him to replace Chief Justice Rehnquist when that retirement comes.
President Bush has said he wants a nominee confirmed by the first Monday in October. More than 200 Texas Army National Guard soldiers have been activated in case they're needed for duty with Hurricane Emily churning up through the Gulf of Mexico. The storm could reach the Texas-Mexico line by late tonight. ABC's Darren Lynn has more.
Evacuations in South Padre Island could begin as soon as today. But as one woman told me, I'm going to continue vacationing until Emily kicks me out. Then I'll go.
There's a mandatory evacuation order in effect for the island's RV parks. Talk about Hot Wheels. What are the country's most frequently stolen cars?
There is a reason why 1999 and 98 Acura Integras are first and third most stolen cars in the country. They are fast and furious. An information service which tracks stolen autos for the insurance industry says the high-performance cars are likely targets for street racers.
ABC's Jim Hickey. Number two on the list is the 2002 BMW Roadster. Hewlett-Packard is cutting 14,500 jobs to help save money. And the U.S. has reopened its borders to beef cattle from Canada. Imports were banned 2 years ago over the mad cow scare. This is ABC News.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
All right, what do we have?
Male patient trying to get a loan for a car.
They're checking his credit now.
What's the status?
Looks like he's got some credit problems.
Seen this before. What's his credit score?
He doesn't know, doctor.
What? He went for a loan without knowing his credit score?
We're losing the loan!
All right, I'm going to call it.
How's your financial health? With Score Power from Equifax, you get your credit report and credit score. It's the first step to healthy credit.
Doctor, there's a woman trying to buy a house without her credit score.
It's an epidemic.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
The barter system is working well in the New York borough of Brooklyn, where aspiring actors are getting some help with their medical bills.
Kirsten Lewis, budding actress with the clock ticking in more ways than one.
I just graduated from NYU, so I have like a month left under my parents' insurance.
Enter Brooklyn's Woodhull Hospital. Dr. Edward Fishkin offering more than a captive audience.
For every hour that they entertain patients, we would put $40 worth of health care credit into an individualized health care account that they can draw off like a debit card when they come to see the physician.
Another actress says performers get to practice and the patients...
They get to see art come in.
At worst, they throw hospital food. Otherwise,
it's a win-win situation.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
Geraldine Fitzgerald, who began her film career in the 1930s, has died at her home in Manhattan. She received an Oscar nomination for her role as Isabella Linton in Wuthering Heights. Fitzgerald was 91. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 78-year-old Irvell Hoover faces charges of second-degree murder and armed criminal action. Last night, a St. Louis County jury found Hoover guilty of helping in the December 2002 murder of his abusive son-in-law, Jeffrey Sexton of DePere. The Post-Dispatch reports Lisa Frein and Robert Hoover were jailed last week for refusing to testify in their father's trial. Frein agreed to testify Friday. Last week, Judge John Kintz said he would consider criminal contempt charges against Robert Hoover at the end of the trial. St. Louis-based Charter Communications will pay $75,000 to the state of Missouri for alleged violations of the state no-call law. Attorney General Jay Nixon says the agreement settles complaints of telemarketing calls from Charter to Missourians on the no-call list. Future violations of the law will cost Charter $1,000 per call. Missourians wishing to register their telephone numbers on the no-call list may visit www.ago.mo.gov or call 1-866-NO-CALL-1. Some local senior citizens are being awarded for their efforts to help their communities. Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder has created a new awards program to help promote senior citizens and their volunteer efforts. Kinder says the response to this program has been great.
This is the second time I've given out the award. The first was Friday afternoon in Springfield, a huge crowd there. You know, it's a small way to give back to these seniors who've given us so much and who continue to give so much to us, especially in the way of inspiration.
One recipient of the Senior Service Award was 101-year-old Bishop Smith, who volunteers 4 hours each day at the Northside Community Center by maintaining sign-in records for seniors who come for meals. Dan and Lois Flippin also received a Senior Service Award for their volunteer work with the Red Cross Disaster Action Team, providing food, clothing, shelter, and counseling for disaster victims. Finally this hour, Jeff Suppan will try to become the Cardinals' fourth 10-game winner when he takes the mound against the Brewers at 7:10 this evening. Suppan is 9-7 on the season, including 2 wins against Milwaukee in which he has given up 2 runs in 13 and a third innings pitched. The Brewers' counter was southpaw Doug Davis, who comes into the game with an identical 9-7 record. Davis has won 5 of his last 7 decisions and has given up 3 earned runs or less in 9 of his past 11 starts. The Redbirds are 6-1 against the Brewers this season. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by AutoZone. Without regular oil changes, you'll send your car's engine to an early grave. Get to AutoZone today. Change your oil and get more life out of your car. Get in the zone, AutoZone. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Eastbound 40 at Vandeventer. Look for that off-ramp to be closed through August due to construction work. You can use Kings Highway Market or Grand to get around the construction area there. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge all the way to 270. Look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Lindbergh. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 between New Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for heavy volume, then slow in the right lane as you approach 170 going south. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44. It is slow go this morning in your 8 a.m. commute. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for slow volume there as well. Eastbound 40 at 170. Look for that traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. You've got slow traffic. Your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 slows from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for everything to be running smoothly. Long road at Chesterfield Airport Road. You've got an injury accident. Grand at 40. There's an injury accident there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Employee pricing is a good idea, but with vehicles like this, it's pure genius. Now everyone gets an employee discount plus generous cash allowances on select models. See your participating Chrysler dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny skies today. Chance of showers, a 20% chance to be exact, and thunderstorms with a high in the lower 90s for this evening. Partly cloudy skies, another chance for showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Low in the lower 70s. Wednesday, hot, humid, partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. The high should be in the mid-90s. The high heat index is expected to be around 103 by Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-70s, and then there's another heat index warning of 102 by early in the evening on Wednesday evening. Then Thursday, pretty much the same as Wednesday, hot and humid, partly cloudy, high in the mid-90s, with a heat index expected to be around 102 in the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 75 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. We have much to talk about this morning. Please don't forget that we are archived daily on the WhiteRoseSociety.org. If anytime you miss an hour, that's okay. You can go get an hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can also iPod me. You can iPod the show. You can also catch the show as a broadcast daily live on the World Wide Net at www.wgnu.net. Check out my website at lizbrown.com, at least my first page of it. It broadcasts. It is launched on August 1st. But you can go there now and read my column, Through Brown Eyes. See what I've said on Through Brown Eyes this week. You can email me at Liz Brown or at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. I don't know if you can pick up a paper. I wonder if we did a Google search. If we did a Google search. Let's say we did a Google search on suicide bombers. How many times would that come up? I don't think that anybody here could have can say that they haven't used the word suicide bomber. I don't think that anybody can say that they haven't heard the word suicide bomber. I'm looking at a film or a fax that I got about a film. Film coming out, Suicide Killers, Why Suicide Bombers Kill. MSNBC article, Most Suicide Bombers in Iraq Are Foreigners. I'm reading this horrific report coming out of Iraq from this weekend, out of Baghdad. Iraq is slipping into an all-out civil war. A suicide bomber killed almost 100 people just on Friday. It's on our minds. It comes out our mouth, the word suicide bomber. It's all over the web. It's all over. It's all over. And I think if, in fairness, if we actually had to sit down right now at this moment with what we know or what has been put in our heads, if we had to sit down and write a paper on who is a suicide bomber, what is a suicide bomber, where do they come from, why do they bomb, how do they bomb? I don't think that we would be able to write a paper that's very long. And once we had written it, I don't think that we would write a paper that is very correct. We need to talk about it. We need to discuss this. And I have with me this morning Bob Pape, an associate professor of political science at the University of Chicago, who's just written a book, Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I'm fascinated by the book, and I'm fascinated by some of the conclusions that you have drawn. But I want to kind of start with just the word choice that you used on the cover of your book, suicide terrorism. Distinguish that between suicide bombing. Why those two words?
Oh, well, it's because not every suicide terrorist attack is an actual bombing. Sometimes suicide terrorists are actually driving a vehicle and drive that vehicle, ram it into a building, and kill large numbers of people at the same time they kill themselves. That vehicle could be an airplane like it was on 9/11, or it could actually be a truck, as has happened many times around the world. And sometimes we've even seen suicide ambulance drivers, because, of course, an ambulance is something that someone would least suspect as being a weapon of war. So I use a somewhat broader term than bombing because there are a noticeable number of incidents that do not involve a person strapping themselves on an explosive on themselves.
You started in your book with an observation that the presumed connection between suicide terrorism and Islamic fundamentalism is misleading, and you also suggest that it may encourage domestic and foreign policies that would worsen America's situation and harm Muslims. Why do you draw that conclusion, and why is it misleading for anyone to draw that conclusion?
Well, it's terribly important because the threat from suicide terrorism is growing. Since 2002, Al-Qaeda has been involved in over 17 suicide and other terrorist attacks that killed more than 700 people, more attacks and victims than all the years before 9/11 combined.
The war on
terrorism is heading south, and the Bush strategy for the war on terrorism is fundamentally flawed because it's based on a faulty premise.
And that faulty premise is?
And the faulty premise is what you just mentioned, that suicide terrorism is mainly a product of an evil ideology, which is Islamic fundamentalism. I've looked at every suicide terrorist attack around the world since 1980. Over half are secular. In fact, the world's leader in suicide terrorism is the Tamil Tigers in Sri Lanka, a Marxist group that's completely secular.
How many people do you think know that? How many people do you think that there has been a success of painting suicide bombing in terms of religion and fanatic religion and Islamic fundamentalism?
Well, one of the big reasons I wrote the book is I don't think very many people know about suicide terrorism around the world. The Tamil Tigers are obviously not attacking us. They're attacking in Sri Lanka. And so they don't make the newspapers. They don't make the New York Times, Washington Post, the local newspapers, because they're not attacking us. There are numerous Muslim groups that are secular, that are suicide terrorist groups. The PKK in Turkey. This is a Muslim Kurdish group. They've carried out numerous suicide attacks against Turkey. They're all over the Turkish papers, but the fact is they don't make our press. So one of the big reasons I wanted to write the book was I wanted to help people see that, in fact, there is a lot of suicide terrorism around the world that just doesn't make our papers, and much of it, actually over half, is secular.
Which means non-religious affiliated.
Which means it's not driven by a religious fanatical ideology. It's not driven by, at root, Islamic fundamentalism.
But they all have something in common, don't they?
Yes, they do. Over 95% of all suicide terrorist attacks around the world since 1980 have in common not religion, but a clear strategic purpose. To compel modern democracies to withdraw military forces from the territory that the terrorists view as their homeland or prize greatly. And what this means is that Al-Qaeda's use of suicide terrorism is likely to continue and could well escalate so long as there is the sustained presence of American combat forces in Muslim countries in the Persian Gulf. That's the core pivotal issue that's making for the next 9/11.
And what are some of the other factors that support that conclusion?
Well, if you look at every major suicide terrorist campaign since 1980 in Lebanon, Sri Lanka, Chechnya, Kashmir, the West Bank, every suicide terrorist campaign since 1980 has had as its central objective to compel a democratic state to withdraw combat forces, don't mean advisors, combat forces from the homeland of the terrorists or territory that the terrorists prize greatly.
So basically, a terrorist, a suicide bomber, they're about getting people out of their neighborhood.
That's exactly right. Not quite every single time, but 95% of the time. And it's mainly, suicide terrorism is mainly a response to the threat of foreign occupation, not in evil ideology or religious ideology or Islamic fundamentalism.
So Osama bin Laden, is he driven by religion or is he driven by the removal of people in his homeland?
We don't know what is in his heart. What we know is what he says in his statements and what he uses as his main appeal to attract suicide terrorists. And that main appeal is the presence of American and Western combat troops on the Arabian Peninsula. He gives speeches that are 40 and 50 pages long, not just the sound bites we see on CNN. Mm. Many are entitled The American Occupation of the Arabian Peninsula. Almost all begin with pages of detailed description of American and Western combat operations on the Arabian Peninsula. The reason he does that is because he clearly believes that his best way to recruit suicide terrorists to kill us is to emphasize, like a laser beam, the presence of foreign combat forces on the Arabian Peninsula.
But isn't religion used in that? Isn't religion used as part of the motivating factor to do this, the motivating factor to participate in this? Or is it nationalism?
Religion plays a role in recruitment sometimes, but rarely is religion the root of the cause of suicide terrorism. You see, not every foreign occupation or foreign military presence since 1980 has escalated to suicide terrorism. Those that have often also involved a religious difference between the religion of the foreign combat troops and the local community. Well, when you have both foreign combat troops and of a different religion, that enables a terrorist leader to demonize the presence of those combat troops in an especially negative way and to scare both religious and secular members of the community. And what they're doing is calling attention to the occupier as a religiously motivated aggressor. So religion has a role, but it's not the one that we normally hear.
If you could describe or paint a picture of what a person looks like that would take their life to do this, well, what do they look like? Are they young? Are they old? Are they male? Are they female? Are they rich? Are they poor? Are they educated?
I've looked at 462 suicide terrorists since 1980 around the world who have actually done the mission. That is, these aren't attempters or people that were captured, but the real suicide terrorists. And very few fit the picture of a depressed, lonely individual on the margins of society, uneducated, unemployed. In fact, most are quite socially integrated, productive members of their community, much like the London bombers. Most are middle class or working class, technicians, waitresses, ambulance drivers, security guards, paramedics, teachers, that is, much like the London bombers. Very few are criminals, that is, they don't have criminal records of murder or beating people up, experience with violence. In fact, for most, their first experience with violence is their last. It's their own suicide terrorist attack. Most are not longtime members of the suicide of a terrorist group, just like the London bombers. Most join the group a few months or a few weeks before to do their very attack that they then go on to carry out. What's at the root of it for most suicide terrorists is anger over specific policies that they believe they can't change any other way, and not just any old policy, but most often just simply the policy of the presence of foreign combat troops on territory that they prize greatly.
And what are they, male? Are they female?
Well, about 22% or so are female since 1980. That is, that not We haven't quite reached the point when I hope we don't keep escalating to the point where we do, where we have half male and female, but actually there are quite a few female suicide attackers around the world. Again, the Sri Lankan Tamil Tigers, which we don't hear much about, have actually a large number, nearly 30% of their attackers are female. In fact, one of the very the most horrific and the suicide attack that killed one of the most prominent leaders, the suicide attack that killed Rajiv Gandhi in May 1991 was carried out by a female suicide tiger from the Black from the Tamil Tigers, and she was one of the most one of the most extremely prominent figures, of course, in Sri Lanka. But we just don't hear much about her here.
And in terms of this country, we're being told all the time that we're having an impact. We are having an effect on Al-Qaeda. We're having an impact and an effect on terrorism, suicide bombing. It's getting better in Iraq, and we're having success with Al-Qaeda. What do the numbers show?
The numbers show that by the measure that counts, the ability of the group to kill us, Al-Qaeda, is stronger today than before 9/11. Of course it's true we've killed or captured Al-Qaeda leaders. Of course it's true that we've killed or captured Al-Qaeda operatives. But the key thing that a suicide terrorist group wants to do is to kill us. And that's, of course, why we worry about it. By that measure, we need to see that Al-Qaeda, since 2002, has carried out over 17 suicide and other terrorist attacks, killing nearly 700 people, more than all the years before 9/11 combined. The London attacks are merely the next step in Al-Qaeda executing its strategic logic that's driven by, at bottom, the presence of American and Western combat forces on the Arabian Peninsula.
What do they call themselves?
They often call themselves martyrs. They often call them their operations martyrdom operations. And interestingly, even secular groups use the word martyr, although they mean it in a more secular way.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Bob Pape, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Chicago, and we're talking about his book, Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Our number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You can reach me online at revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much more to talk about.
I've got to keep on pushing. I can't stop now. I move up. I need a higher. Some way, somehow.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Northbound 55 between Weber Road and Lafayette, nothing to report. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge. Look for that traffic to be easing now. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh. Look for no problems there. Westbound 270 from Riverview to Graham Hanley, nothing to report. Northbound 270 at 44, that traffic's finally easing up a bit. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Roads, you still have pockets of slow traffic going on in that area as well. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, look for slow volume there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, you've got slow traffic as well. And westbound 40 between Boone's Crossing and Long Road, slow traffic in the right lane due to an accident on Long Road at Chesterfield Airport Road. Eastbound 40 at Grand, look for slow traffic in the right lane due to an accident on northbound Grand. And the rest of your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 55, 70, split from Poplar Street Bridge. Look for very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split. Nothing to report there. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Everything looks good. Long road at Chesterfield Airport Road. As I said earlier, that accident has been cleared, but you still have some delays. Northbound Grand Avenue at 40. Look for an accident. That has been cleared as well, but you may see some delays there. And Natural Bridge at Shreve Avenue. There's a report of an injury accident. 67 at 94, look for traffic lights not to be working due to a power failure. And northbound Lindbergh at Merrimack Bottom Road, all roadways are reopened after an earlier stall has been cleared. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. That's 1-800 the number 2, donate, or you can visit taxdeduction.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, partly sunny skies. Chance of showers this afternoon with a high in the lower 90s this evening. Partly cloudy, another chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm in the evening. Low in the lower 70s. For Wednesday and Thursday, both days hot and humid. Partly cloudy, a 20% chance of showers on both days. High in the mid-90s. On Wednesday, they're expecting a high heat index reading of around 103 by the afternoon. On Thursday, that heat index reading should reach about 102 by the afternoon, so use some precautions if you plan on going out in the heat. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 76 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76 as well under clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Join the Youth Outdoor Skills Series on July 26th, 28th, and 29th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. each day. The series takes place at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles. All equipment will be provided. Please dress for outdoor activities and bring sunscreen and insect repellent. Class size is limited to 30, and registration is required by July 25th. To find out more, call 636-441-4554. Something to do outdoors from WGNU. For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
My name is Craig Skubick. I'm the host of The Adjustment Zone every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Along with my co-host, Dr. Shane May, we provide an insight to the advantages and benefits of chiropractic care by answering your questions and listening to your comments. We also take your email. We cover everything from improving your overall health to the science behind it. That's The Adjustment Zone. With me, Craig Skubick, and Dr. Shane May, every Saturday afternoon at 3, only on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
I am female and Muslim. Before the occupation, I more or less dressed the way I wanted to. I lived in jeans and cotton pants and comfortable shirts. Now I don't dare leave the house in pants. A long skirt and a loose shirt, preferably with long sleeves, has become necessary. A girl wearing jeans risks being attacked, abducted, or insulted by fundamentalists who have been liberated. Fathers and mothers are keeping their daughters' stash safe at home. That's why you see so few females in the streets, especially after 4 p.m. Others are making their daughters, wives, and sisters wear hijab, not to oppress them, but to protect them. I lost my job for a similar reason. Girls are being made to quit college and school. My 14-year-old cousin, a straight-A student, is going to have to repeat the year because her parents decided to keep her home since the occupation. Why? because the Supreme Council of the Islamic Revolution in Iraq took over an office next to our school and opened up a special bureau. Men in black turbans stand around the gates of the bureau in clusters, scanning the girls and teachers entering the secondary school. The dark, frowning features stand ogling, leering, and sometimes jeering at the ones not wearing hijab or whose skirts aren't long enough. In some areas, girls risk being attacked with acid if their clothes aren't proper.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is my phone number. I'm talking to Bob Pate, an associate professor of political science at the University of Chicago. He has written the book, Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. Looking at the internet here, and a suicide bomber, 2 million hits. Suicide terrorism, 3 million hits. If you do a Google search, suicide bomber, 2 million hits. Suicide terrorism, 3 million hits. It's a word that everybody is using all across the net. But the question comes, the issue arises, what is a suicide bomber? What is suicide terrorism? What are the terms? Bob Pape, welcome back. Can we define some more of these terms, please? Talk to us about how, in the terms of your book, how do you define terrorism?
Well, terrorism is just any act that seeks to cause fear or spread terror in the target audience. A suicide terrorist attack, I define in the classic sense of a terrorist killing himself or herself in order to kill others. I don't mix in with that term some things that some others might, such as an instance of a security force, a member of the security forces, killing an individual preemptively, asserting that person was a terrorist or about to become a suicide terrorist. I also don't include in this category individuals who killed themselves in order to avoid capture, such as popping a cyanide pill. The reason I don't is because I really have tried to capture suicide terrorism in the classic sense that most people really have in their mind when they're thinking about a suicide terrorist attack.
And there are people that do engage in these suicide attacks that it is about religion, right?
Well, very few is it at bottom about religion. You see, if it really was at bottom about Islamic fundamentalism, then we would expect some of the largest Islamic fundamentalist countries in the world, without the presence of American or Western combat troops, to also produce suicide terrorists. Iran is a good case in point. Iran has 70 million people. It certainly qualifies as one of the largest Islamic fundamentalist populations on the planet. It's three times the size of Saudi Arabia, three times the size of Iraq in population. Well, Iran has never produced a suicide terrorist for Al-Qaeda. Iran, by the way, has also never produced a suicide terrorist for Lebanon or for Hezbollah to attack Israel. It's also never produced a suicide terrorist for the Palestinians to attack Israel. not saying that Iran may not provide funding or so forth, the government, but the population.
Well, one would think. Well, the conclusion to draw would be that it would be a hotbed of it.
Exactly. We would be expecting that if it's simply the product of an evil ideology called Islamic fundamentalism, that we should see suicide bombers jumping out of Iran. But we don't see that.
We should see academies for it. I mean, they would be, it's their home, it's their religion, it's their place where they live, and people dress like they want to when they're at home and do like they want to when they're at home. We would see them walking down the street wearing T-shirts saying, I am a suicide bomber.
Yes, yes, and what my findings conclude is that if we ever come to the day where we decided for some reason to invade and occupy parts of Iran, that would really be the condition under which suicide terrorists would really begin to come from Iran.
Let me take a call here. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest.
Yes, I do, Liz. Good morning, Mr. Tate.
Tate.
Good morning. Thank you for writing this book. I have a statement and then a question to ask you. One of the charges leveled against Saddam Hussein was the fact that he paid the families of Palestinian suicide bombers $25,000. Now, this is a cynical question, but do you see any relationship between the payments of money to families of people who die or killed in this quagmire in Iraq with the fact that this country has raised the bar on death penalties to $100,000 of payment to families of young men who volunteer for service in Iraq? Thank you, and I'll listen to your answer.
Well, in two parts. First, I have looked quite closely at the issue of whether the families of suicide attackers on Palestine were better off because one of their children committed a suicide attack, and the fact is they're not, because starting in 1998, Israel adopted a routine policy of demolishing the homes of all the family members of suicide terrorist attackers. There have been about 110 or so. Well, Israel demolished nearly 500 homes. That is not just one of the homes, but every member of the family of the bomber lost his or her home. And as a result, all of them were left much less, much worse off, even if they did manage to receive some money from either Saddam Hussein or someone else. We actually, by the way, don't have much confirmation that any of those funds actually made it to any of those families, but I'm just assuming that if they did, they weren't better off. The point on bounties in general, or just offering people money in comparison here with what's happening in recruitment on our side, I think they're really just quite different issues, because I think that in the case of what's happening with suicide terrorists, they're just so the families just really don't ever make out, that I just don't think there's any way that you could make the case that they're really ahead of the game, or they're selling their kids to get a TV. That's just not really what's happening.
We're going to take another break here. I'm talking to Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Chicago, Robert Pape. My name is Liz Brown, and this is The Wake Up Call. We'll be back. He is the author of a book, Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The U.S. military is considering expanding the hunt for Iraqi insurgents into Syria. Officials have recently become aware of increasing activity of a Sunni insurgency network operating in the northern portion of Syria. A strike against it is being considered in order to disable its support into Iraq. One diplomat says the Syrians seem to be encouraging that activity, and the Bush administration is now convinced that diplomacy will not work. Fighters from a number of Mideast countries are flowing into the home base near a town called Aleppo, where they are going through training that's sponsored by Sunni factions that are linked to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who apparently heads the al-Qaeda in Iraq. And a Dateline Washington. Another crisis is facing American soldiers. The Army is running out of blank ammunition to conduct training exercises for recruits. It has also been disclosed that the Army suffered other equipment shortages earlier this year that included machine gun cleaning kits and practice rounds for grenade launchers. The shortage comes from a mistake made by the Defense Logistics Organization in anticipating how much would be needed over this summer. A leaked memo indicates the shortage will have a negative effect on field training, and so far an alternative has not been found, unless the Army makes the soldiers yell out, "Bang, bang." This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Fix a faucet. Put up a new shelf. Organize a closet. Rip out an old carpet. Hi, I'm Bob Vila. No matter what type of home renovation you're planning, put this at the top of your to-do list. Check your family's tetanus booster status. Any minor wound, such as a cut or scrape, can put you at risk for tetanus infection. Maybe you wear safety gear to help reduce wounds, but an up-to-date vaccination called the TD booster is your only sure protection. Because you need a routine vaccine every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. If it's been more than 10 years since your last TD booster, then it's not just your house that's out of date, it's you. Contact your healthcare provider or local health clinic to find out if it's time for a tetanus booster to keep your protection strong. If it's been 10, do it again. A public service message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station. To learn more, visit nfid.org.
Professional wrestling is back on WGNU, The Stranglehold with Brian Stoll, Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. St. Louis has a proud tradition with professional wrestling, from wrestling at the Chase to the Monday Night Wars to the present day. Whether it's local, national, or worldwide action between the ropes, you'll hear about it from Brian Stowe and the Stranglehold, Tuesday nights at 7 here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is AM 920 WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm talking to author Bob Pape, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Chicago. We're talking about his book, Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. Bob, since you have written that terrorism is mainly a response to foreign occupation rather than the product of Islamic fundamentalism, what should the United States be doing? Because that's certainly not the way that they've pitched it to us.
Well, of course, if we got Osama bin Laden in our gun sights, we should kill or capture him. But there are three things we should do to truly combat suicide terrorism in the long run. And I would suggest the following to the Bush administration. In the next 12 months, the West should completely transfer the responsibility for the security of Iraq to the Iraqi government. Over the next 3 years, we should move our policy away from onshore combat presence on the Arabian Peninsula toward offshore balancing, where we still have used military force to secure our access to Persian Gulf oil, but without stationing combat troops on the Arabian Peninsula to do that. We pursued this policy quite successfully in the 1970s and 80s, and we should return to that. Third, the United States should also increase homeland security by tightening our borders and continuing to enforce strictly immigration controls. Because as long as there are tens of thousands of American combat forces stationed on the Arabian Peninsula, the fact is the threat of suicide terrorism and the next 9/11 is going to continue.
Well, there's also a Charles Bronson type of a thing going on, too. There are a lot of people, there are tens of hundreds of thousands of people whose families have been directly impacted, killed, as a result of our occupation. How do we deal with this generation of people that have lost loved ones?
We definitely continue with economic relations with Iraq. We definitely continue with positive diplomatic relations with Iraq. I'm not for a moment suggesting that we just wash our hands and walk away. In fact, economic development aid is one of the best sources of stability over the long term, not in any one given month or even in one given year, but over a decade or two can dramatically improve the quality of life for individuals. And that's really what's in order here for Iraq.
But in terms of this particular administration's policies, we're pouring trillions of dollars into Iraq, and it's not going anywhere, and it's not doing anything. How would this change? If we've been unable to wage any kind of economic advantage in Iraq right now with the trillions of dollars that we're spending, based on this administration's policy, how can we expect that's going to change?
Well, we can expect that's going to change by the public demanding a workable policy in Iraq. The fact is the current policy in Iraq is not working, and it's making the threat against us greater. The public needs to demand that we have a true workable policy. There are alternative policies to our current one in Iraq that would make us safer and more secure in the long run.
This administration has said that we are engaged in a war on terrorism. If we pull out of Iraq, we're still engaged in a war. How do you win? How do you even define a victory if the war is on terrorism?
You define the victory in the war on terrorism by the end of suicide terrorist campaigns against us. The key issue is not whether there is some criminal somewhere out there or some terrorist or some insurgent somewhere out there in the world. The key issue for us is whether there is a campaign of attack after attack after attack that is threatening the United States or our close allies. And that's the thing that we really can do quite a bit about, quite a bit to diminish.
And the campaigns that are directed at us are
directly the result of primarily, not necessarily the only factor, but primarily the result of the presence of American combat forces stationed on the Arabian Peninsula, a policy that we started in 1990. We did not have this policy all the way back to World War II. We started to station combat troops, tanks, fighter aircraft on the Arabian Peninsula in a permanent way in 1990, and in fact that is generating a mobilization appeal allowing terrorist leaders to mobilize against us to recruit suicide terrorists in a very powerful way.
What has been the response to your book?
Well, several weeks ago I was on Capitol Hill and I presented my findings to 15 senators and congressmen. I was in the room with them for an hour and 15 minutes. There were no staff. It was just myself and them. And they were across the aisle from the Republican side to the Democratic side, and quite prominent members, including Dick Lugar from the Republican side, Henry Waxman from the Democratic side. And they were really interested in the patterns of the data that I found in the book. Because it really is the case that it provides a fresh look at the global patterns of suicide terrorism and really helps us understand who's trying to kill us and who's not. And at bottom, many of those people, I was really gratified to see this never once in an hour and 15 minutes descended into a political discussion. Now, maybe there were no cameras in the room, but it was really quite encouraging to see our lawmakers really grapple with this. I've also seen numerous journalists really interested in this because I think they, of all people, know that as many stories as there have been, we really don't have the rich information that we need to get a handle on this problem.
And no offense, Professor, but this is, it just seems so simple. This really, really seems very, very simple. Why hasn't anybody done this before? I mean, congratulations to you, but why has anybody done this before?
Well, the actual collection of the information going back to 1980, it actually was quite a large effort. It involved a large amount of funding by many prominent institutions, and also which allowed me to build a research team of many people who are fluent in all the key native languages. We might have thought our government might have done this, but in fact, when I published an initial version of this in the summer of 2003, I was contacted by our Defense Department because they had been collecting ordinary terrorism statistics going back decades, but didn't start tracking suicide terrorism until 2000. Wanted my data, I gave it to them.
I bet you did.
They actually contributed to some of the expansion. So it really is the case that this is a very, there was a large amount of work underneath this.
And I want to thank you so much, Bob Pape, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Chicago, author of Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism. They can get it anywhere, right?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It was a great hour.
Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I will be back after the news. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Hewlett-Packard will lose their jobs. The computer company outlined its cost-cutting plan this morning.
It comes as the company attempts to boost profits and sales. 14,500 jobs will go. That's about 10% of HP's full-time staff. Cuts will be made in retirement and health care benefits.
ABC's Richard Davies. Most of the job cuts will come in support branches like human resources and finance. More than two dozen doctors have walked out of one of Baghdad's busiest hospitals. They're angry over what they describe as abuse by Iraqi soldiers. About 100 patients are left to fend for themselves. ABC News has learned President Bush could make his announcement as early as today, naming his choice to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Hurricane Emily is gathering strength in the Gulf of Mexico and aiming indirectly at South Texas. This woman lives on South Padre Island.
You put up with this to live in paradise.
225 Texas Army National Guard soldiers are activated. 100 State Guard personnel are on standby just in case they're needed for hurricane duty. Jack Bevin is at the National Hurricane Center, and he expects Emily to grow.
We do anticipate strengthening. Conditions look rather favorable, and it is currently forecast to become a major Category 3 hurricane before it makes landfall in a little over 24 hours.
Forecasters say Hurricane Emily could reach the Texas-Mexico line by late tonight. A heat wave, meanwhile, is baking much of the West. Jim McIntosh is a power grid operations director in Southern California.
What I worry about now are like things like fires or major power plant going out of service or major transmission line going out of service.
Some states are warning of rolling brownouts or even rolling blackouts. This is ABC News.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready for a real home-based business that can get you out of the rat race and into financial freedom? Hi, this is Golf DeRoos. I bought my first property at 17 without a penny to my name, and since then I've made millions in real estate. I have engineered a proven system to real estate buying that will show you how to buy money-generating properties so you'll never have to work again. Let me show you how you can get started right now. With my techniques, you can learn the secrets for spotting deals that come along on average once a week, and pick up plenty of homes that generate lots of cash and become rich, very rich. Call 1-800-991-7736 anytime, 24 hours a day, and I'll send you a free tape that explains how easy it is. Instead of just making a living, let me show you how to make real money. Call 1-800-991-7736 and get your life back. Again, that's 1-800-991-7736.
There's more proof today that Iraq is a dangerous place for citizens. ABC's Mike Von Fremd reports from Baghdad.
Police here confirm that gunmen attacked Iraqi employees in a minivan on their way to work at a U.S. military base just north of Baghdad. Police say the gunmen first blocked the path of the bus and then opened fire on the workers. The driver, trying to get away, plowed into a car, wounding others. Iraqis working at U.S. military bases across the country know they are vulnerable, and the wave of violence in Iraq is now escalating. Mike Von Fremd, ABC News, Baghdad.
A new study pokes holes into the idea of alternative fuels as energy savers. Researchers at Cornell University and the University of California, Berkeley, say it takes 29% more fossil energy to produce ethanol and other biofuels than the amount of fuel that's produced. Ethanol producers say the study uses outdated information. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, Maplewood Mayor Mark Langston says he's listening to his constituents on the issue of eminent domain. In response to a public outcry from residents and business owners, Langston and the Maplewood City Council have agreed on a resolution against the use of eminent domain for private development. Langston says the large number of outspoken citizens influenced his decision to go forward with this resolution.
You can't ignore something like that. The letters, the phone calls, and it wasn't just coming from our community, it was coming from many communities. I like to think that we're taking the lead on the issue. It's happening all around us. The whole state of Missouri is in an uproar.
Langston, along with several business owners and residents, are hopeful that the resolution can be turned into a binding ordinance. The city council could vote on the ordinance as early as their next meeting on August 9th. The Mississippi River Commission will conduct a low-water inspection trip next month. John Rickey, a spokesperson for the commission, says the trip will be held from August 15th to the 26th on several sites along the Ohio River. Commissioners will get a first-hand look at locks and dams along the river. Rickey says inspections along the Ohio River are crucial because over 60% of the water that flows into the Mississippi River comes from there. Here's a few more reasons to eat chocolate. A new study shows dark chocolate can lower your blood pressure, improve how the body uses insulin, and decrease the amount of bad cholesterol in the body. An American Heart Association study joins other research that shows flavonoids in dark chocolate can help the blood vessels work more smoothly and perhaps reduce the risk of heart disease. The study's lead researcher says the findings don't suggest that those with high blood pressure should wolf down dark chocolate instead of taking medicine or exercising. Jeffrey Bloomberg of Tufts University in Boston says instead the findings help researchers identify specific flavonoids that can have a benefit on blood pressure and insulin sensitivity. The findings can be found in the journal Hypertension. Finally this hour, on the subject of chocolate, the story of a boy with a golden ticket and a factory unlike any other is box office gold. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory chewed up the competition during its first weekend with $55.4 million in ticket sales. Johnny Depp and Tim Burton put a new twist on the children's book by British writer Roald Dahl. In 1971, there was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder playing the somewhat eccentric candy maker. Wedding Crashers, which also opened this weekend, grabbed the number two spot with $32.2 million in box office receipts. Last week's number one, The Fantastic Four, slipped to third with $22.7 million, and two prior box office champions, War of the Worlds and Batman Begins, round out the top five in respective order. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Commerce Bank. Get the financial tools and services your small business needs with Commerce Bank's online banking solutions. Call, click, or come by for more information. Commerce Bank, member FDIC. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Westbound 70 at Lake St. Louis Boulevard is closed due to an accident involving an overturned vehicle. Traffic is being detoured onto the south outer road. Eastbound 70 between 94 and Blanchett Bridge. Road construction has only the two left lanes open to traffic, and traffic is backed up at this hour through 94. Eastbound 44 between Williams and 270, no problems to report. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into 170, everything is running smoothly now in both directions. 40 at Hanley, that traffic has returned back to normal. Northbound Route 3 ramp to westbound 5570 is closed due to bridge repairs. The detour is to take eastbound 5570 to the 4th Street exit and then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays in that hour or in that area at this hour. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge, everything's returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way to Laclede's Landing, everything is on the move there. And 67 and 94, those traffic lights are not working. Stop signs are up at this hour. Eastbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, road construction has the right lane closed, and traffic is backed up in the right lane onto northbound 55 at Park Avenue. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Employee pricing is a good idea, but with vehicles like this, it's pure genius. Now everyone gets the employee discount plus generous cash allowances on select models. See your participating Chrysler dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Partly sunny skies today, 20% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm, the high in the lower 90s. This evening, partly cloudy skies will continue. Another chance for showers and thunderstorms in the evening with a low in the lower 70s. For Wednesday and Thursday, pretty much the same straight through, hot and humid, partly cloudy on both days. A chance for showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach 103 in the afternoon on Wednesday and 102 in the afternoon on Thursday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 78 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
If you're like most of us, sometimes you feel overwhelmed by stress. Relaxation techniques to bring down the stress levels in the body actually do work. Here's one way. Go somewhere that's as far away from distractions as possible. Sit in a quiet, comfortable place and concentrate only on relaxing your body. Banish all other thoughts. Close your eyes. With your hands resting on your lap, palms facing upward, completely relax your shoulders. Relax your arms next, then your hands and your fingers. Move your feet forward on the floor a few inches so that your legs feel relaxed. Then, listening only to soft music or silence, relax for as long as you wish. 5 or 10 minutes is common. Afterwards, open your eyes and slowly flex your fingers, move your feet back, straighten your spine to an upright position, and rejoin the world. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this happen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this happen? Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
Say that progress is being made. If you took a measurement of that 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches,
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's the blow, that's the blow me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. In the struggle against the common enemy, the man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
So we say to all in this nation who dare
to... Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. It hasn't been a good few weeks, good few months for Boy George. It's really been challenging out here. I'm telling you. I have been talking about on this show, there is a perfect storm a brewing. Approval ratings tanking. Ratings on honesty. People are saying, don't trust him. We've got this whole Iraq occupation thing going on. And just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, the Valerie Plame thing won't go away. There is an article out of Washington. White House in a panic over the spy scandal. I'm sorry, that's not out of Washington. That would have been too much to hope for. This is out of the UK. White House in a panic over a spy scandal. Scooter Libby. That would be Lewis Scooter Libby, Vice President Cheney's chief of staff, has been named as a second source. The first source is Karl Rove. It's I guess, you know, we're going to find out how deep the rabbit hole goes, huh? We keep pushing and poking at this. Well, we need to talk about this. We need to break this down. We need to be specific about this. We need to talk about why the White House is in panic over spy scandal. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Nico Pitney, Progress Report researcher from the Center for American Progress. Nico, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
Absolutely fine.
Well, you know, is that correct? Can we speculate that the White House is in a bit of a panic over this?
Oh, I think it's more than a panic, and I don't think that's just wishful thinking. I think they are doing everything they can now to control the message and figure out how they're going to slice this in a way that prevents damage, but it's going to be very, very difficult because these extremely high-level administration officials have been caught red-handed, and there is a major, serious federal investigation that's caught them doing it. So,
well, you know, unless they appoint Jerry Falwell to the Supreme Court, you know, I think that people are going to keep talking about this. Let us go to the beginning, Nico. Take us to the beginning of this.
Well, I mean, there's a basic fact. Despite all the complexities, I think there's one basic fact to know. Now that we know that Karl Rove at least leaked the name of an undercover CIA operative in a time of war, we know either that Rove has been lying to President Bush about whether or not he leaked the name. So either Rove is lying and presumably will either be fired or resign if the president is going to keep his word, or the president lied to the American people about his pledge to fire anyone who was involved in this scandal.
So we get a liar either way.
We get a liar either way. And that I think, is, it's clear as day, and there's no way they can get around it.
And I feel like sometimes listening to the explanations or the words coming out of the White House, that I'm back on the playground as a fourth grader and being evasive. When Karl Rove said, well, I didn't say her name. I just said that woman that's married to that man and listed the husband's name. I mean, do you think that statement's going to keep him from getting charged with a crime?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, none of what his lawyer is saying publicly is going to have any impact on whether, on whether or not he's indicted by the grand jury. Basically, he can lie as much as he wants, and the lawyer can lie as much as he wants to the public, and he'll face no legal ramifications. It's so deeply ironic that after years of having conservatives attack the Clinton administration, and in some sense rightfully so, for parsing their words, about the Lewinsky stuff, what the meaning of is. I mean, stuff that, American people, even though they thought that, the Lewinsky matter on a whole was totally irrelevant, still, it was ridiculous. It was parsing words just in a right way to not lie, but to mislead, and this is exactly what they're engaged in now.
Well, what fourth graders do. I mean, these are childlike responses to specific adult questions.
Yeah.
So can we go back to the beginning? Can you walk us through this?
Sure. So it began with the 16 words in President Bush's State of the Union address about this uranium, this yellow-caked uranium, and whether Saddam Hussein's government had attempted to purchase uranium from Niger.
Or Africa, as George Bush said in his speech, from Africa.
Yes, that country, Africa.
That country, Africa.
So it ended up turning out that the CIA determined that the documents upon which this idea that Iraq had gone to Niger to get uranium was based were fraudulent. They were falsified. So Dick Cheney's office and high-level CIA people felt the need to investigate who was, whether these documents were actually forged, whether there was any other evidence that Iraq may have gone looking for uranium in Niger, and the CIA found someone, Joe Wilson, a former ambassador, to go out and investigate it. What was the deal in Niger? So he went out. He returned in February and filed a report. Meanwhile, the administration continued to mislead about their knowledge of these events. They were getting hammered for lying in the State of the Union speech, and they were trying their best to defend the remarks. And so Joe Wilson got upset, and he decided to write an article saying, look, the administration is not telling the truth. Iraq never did try to get uranium from Niger. And here are the facts. I went there and I know myself. That's what he said. And immediately, like the administration has done so many times before with people who try to speak out in a way that hurts them, they went on the attack. And they attacked him in several ways, but most importantly by leaking the identity of his wife, who for 20 years had worked undercover as a CIA operative. Members of her family didn't know.
Her neighbors didn't know. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew that she was a spy. That's a big deal, isn't it?
It's absolutely a big deal. I mean, this wasn't, as conservatives have been saying, it wasn't Rove trying to get these journalists off of a story. This was a campaign. Mm-hmm. They called numerous journalists, six journalists, and multiple administration officials confirmed them to these journalists. And it was specifically, vindictive, trying to hurt Wilson and to send a message to other people who might be whistleblowers. Don't mess with us because we'll hurt you.
And if let me ask this question. One of the reasons why the White House is in a panic over this is because we also have this drumbeat of the Downing Street memos. That this is connected to that too, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think there are really three reasons why this is so important. First is, you know, the reason why they leaked the name in the first place, which is the fact they were on this vindictive campaign, which is, you know, bad in and of itself. Another reason is what the leak did. Apparently there are major national security, there were major faults to our national security based on the leak, which I can get into later. But the third reason is tying it all back to Iraq. The reason why they felt the need to launch this campaign against Wilson is because they sent this country to war on lies, and they were doing anything they could to cover up for the fact that they lied to send people off to their deaths. And it's really just that simple.
And when we talk about the Downing Street memo, we're talking about those few little words in the Downing Street memo that said the U.S. is trying to fix its intelligence.
Exactly.
So that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to fix the intelligence, to say something about Iraq that wasn't so, in order to justify going into making a preemptive strike into Iraq.
Dangerous stuff. I mean, really dangerous stuff. You know, the special prosecutor who leading this grand jury investigation, his name's Patrick Fitzgerald. In addition to subpoenaing White House phone logs, a bunch of documents, emails, he's also subpoenaed the minutes of this Iraq strategy group that was held inside the White House with with people from Vice President Cheney's office. Karen Hughes, Mary Madeline, top-level officials who weren't, you know, they weren't figuring out military strategy. They weren't figuring out, like, diplomacy. They're figuring out how to sell this war to the American people. And he's got that information. Who knows whether it'll come out or whether it'll be part of whatever indictments he presumably makes, if he ends up making some. But he's got it, and so who knows what he's going
to
find.
And we need to also talk about the fact that Karl Rove did testify.
He testified not once, not twice, but three times.
Do we know what he was asked during the grand jury investigation, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't know, and presumably, you know, at some points FBI officials interviewed him, and then at other points the members of this grand jury asked him questions. We don't know yet specifically what he was asked. We have actually Matt Cooper, one of the journalists who was leaked this information. He gave a clue in this article he published over the weekend. He said that the grand jury was interested in whether he had spoken to Karl Rove about welfare reform, and that sounds totally weird and not connected at all to this, but the reason why is because Matt Cooper, when he had called Karl Rove and, you know, on the phone call during which he got the leaked information, he had initially called about welfare reform because he was doing an article, you know, a week before. But, you know, then this whole Wilson stuff broke, Wilson's article was published, and he called Rove, not at all intending to discuss welfare reform, and the first word out of his mouth was Wilson. That's the only thing they talked about. They didn't talk about welfare reform at all. But the fact that the grand jury was asking Cooper whether he had talked to Rove about welfare reform suggested that Karl Rove is claiming that he talked to Cooper about welfare reform, that the plane stuff only came up, you know, as an oh, by the way moment. It wasn't a coordinated campaign. It was just Rove happening to mention it, you know, incidentally, which would be A, a lie, and B, you know, possibly a reason for an indictment on perjury.
So let's talk about the folks that are doing the investigation. How did this investigation come up? Who made the decision for it? And who are the people that are doing the investigation?
A lot of that's a little difficult because we don't know who sits on the grand jury. we know that the investigation came about initially. It was a Justice Department investigation.
And the Justice Department under Alberto Gonzalez or under Ashcroft?
Under Ashcroft initially. Alberto Gonzalez recused himself. Ashcroft as Attorney General. Not as Attorney General, but when he was White House Counsel, Ashcroft as Attorney General recused himself.
So who's in charge now?
So then from the Justice Department investigation, that went on for a few weeks, and then the CIA made a request, and this is the important part, when people say that Plame wasn't a covert operative, the best way of knowing, no one really knows what her status was, but the fact that the CIA asked to refer this, the leak, to a grand jury, shows that they believe that it was classified information
and
that leaked, that she was
undercover.
Yeah.
So who's in charge now? If Alberto Gonzalez has recused himself and John Ashcroft's off teaching at some university, who's overseeing this?
When the CIA made that request, a grand jury was established, which means the investigation ended. Through the Justice Department left, pulled back. It was no longer leading the investigation, and the special prosecutor and his team of investigators took over. The special prosecutor is a guy named Patrick Fitzgerald. He's, I believe, out of New Jersey. He's known as an independent guy. I mean, there actually isn't a huge amount known about his kind of partisan leanings, but he's apparently tenacious. He's clearly pushing hard on this investigation. He's taken, he's gone to extreme lengths to the point of forcing these journalists, one of them to go to jail and the other one to go right up almost into jail. So I think he does want to get to the bottom of this, which is good news.
It's very good news. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Nico Pitney, Progress Report researcher for the Center for American Progress. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. We will take a couple of your calls when we come back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
He's the only treasure I see. And I'm thinking this man wears a white hood in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip through their windows and they'll see him. And they'll think that white hood's all they need. It's a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
You've heard it since the day you were born.
Someday you'll go to college.
And as you grew, you began to believe what you heard.
You can be anything you want to be.
Until it became something you couldn't ignore.
I can be a teacher.
I can run my own company.
I can change my career.
Now there's a place that can help you reach your dream. College Zone. CollegeZone.com, powered by the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, is the trusted source for college information. You can go to college. Visit CollegeZone.com.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
I am female and Muslim. Before the occupation, I more or less dressed the way I wanted to. I lived in jeans and cotton pants and comfortable shirts. Now I don't dare leave the house in pants. A long skirt and a loose shirt, preferably with long sleeves, has become necessary. A girl wearing jeans risks being attacked, abducted, or insulted by fundamentalists who have been liberated. Fathers and mothers are keeping their daughters' stash safe at home. That's why you see so few females in the streets, especially after 4 p.m. Others are making their daughters, wives, and sisters wear hijab, not to oppress them, but to protect them. I lost my job for a similar reason. Girls are being made to quit college and school. My 14-year-old cousin, a straight-A student, is going to have to repeat the year because her parents decided to keep her home since the occupation. Why? Because the Supreme Council of the Islamic Revolution in Iraq took over an office next to our school and opened up a special bureau. Men in black turbans stand around the gates of the bureau in clusters, scanning the girls and teachers entering the secondary school. The dark, frowning features stand ogling, leering, and sometimes jeering at the ones not wearing hijab or whose skirts aren't long enough. In some areas, girls risk being attacked with acid if their clothes aren't proper.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis at AM 920 WGNU, also online at WGNU.net.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Don't forget that we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web. We are also archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, you can go get an hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can email me at revolution@LizBrown.com. You can check out my web at Liz Brown, LizBrown.com. Check out my column. Lara, the website will be officially launched on August 1st, so we're all looking forward to that. This morning, we are talking about trouble in paradise. We're talking about White House in a panic over the spy scandal. And to facilitate that conversation, we have with us this morning Nico Pitney, Progress Report researcher for the Center for American Progress, and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Nico, I guess maybe... I find myself in an awkward position, but maybe we can just hope that the special prosecutor for George W. Bush will be as thorough and as tenacious as Ken Starr.
I think that'd be a good thing also. It'd certainly be maybe more interesting if he leaked as much information as Ken Starr did, but I guess it's better that he doesn't, because there's the greater chance of perjurers being caught if they don't know what the other folks are saying. So,
do you find it astounding, because I sure do, the explanations that we're hearing as to try to remove themselves from problem or from trouble, like, for instance, what Karl Rove said about Valerie Plame's name?
Yeah, I mean, they're continually raising the bar. Yesterday, the big news was that now, instead of President Bush, for 2 years he'd said that anyone involved in this leak, the leakers would be fired from the administration.
Leakers would be fired.
Exactly. Leakers, not lawbreakers.
That's correct.
Big distinction.
That's correct.
Yesterday he changed his view. Now he says that if someone has broken the law, that's a very high standard. No lawbreakers in the White House. If someone's broken the law, they will be kicked out of the White House. So you know the high standards and accountability that President Bush promised when he was running for president. That is, there will be no felons. The very high standards.
So I mean, we're back to the what it is, aren't we?
It is. I mean, it's. You know, and this is
the
lesson from I work here at the Center for American Progress, and there are several actually the president of the organization is John Podesta, who was President Clinton's former chief of staff, and he was on Meet the Press this past Sunday, and he was asked, you know, your administration had its fair share of scandals, and he admitted that, you know, he certainly said President Clinton took a lot of heat for those and paid his dues. But the lesson out of all that was you come clean. You come clean quickly, and the damage is always lessened. And we're seeing that the Bush administration did not learn that lesson. They're hiding. They're letting everything leak out slowly, and it's really damaging them.
And just the idea of, and I hesitate to use the phrase raising the bar, because we're really lowering the bar in terms of what guilt is going to be now. Guilt, basically what George W. Bush is saying, guilt is that you have to have a videotape, you have to have a signed confession, your mother has to turn you in, and there have to be pictures as well.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, the sad part is that in reality, that probably was the case all along. Karl Rove is absolutely vital to this administration.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, he clearly wouldn't step down until there was an indictment of, you know, until he was indicted. Even if he was indicted, maybe you'd expect him to take a temporary leave of office or something. But I don't even think then he would resign officially.
I think you would still see him roaming the halls even if there was an indictment.
Sure.
And I think post conviction you would still see him in the hallway. They would just say he's visiting.
Well, yeah, at least making calls from his jail cell.
So when let's talk about the other a new component to this Scooter.
Yeah, Scooter Libby he is chief of staff to Vice President Cheney, which
mm-hmm.
means this doesn't, you know, not only is it Rove, but it's the vice president. Really, many would argue that the seat of power in this administration. And, you know, obviously we here get a lot of rumors and stuff fishing around, and the thing that is now being repeated a lot, and I actually hasn't been discussed too much in any of the print stories on this, is that people under Cheney may very well have been the most involved in all of this,
mm-hmm.
the ones that first research, you know, went into the classified data and found Plame's name, the name she used as a covert agent, and first sent that to other White House officials. So, you know, it may be very, very deep inside Cheney's office.
And we have to go back to the point that you made a few minutes ago, Nico. What we're talking about here is what the Downing Street memo talks about. We're talking about the people, the architects that sat down and fix the intelligence in order to dupe Americans support him in this this illegal preemptive strike.
Yeah, that decision has cost the United States and you know Americans so much in terms of in a way almost the least important thing, money, but also in our moral leadership. In lives of thousands upon thousands of Iraqis, thousands of U.S. soldiers, thousands of soldiers from you know our allied countries who also sacrificed their and another one is the cost here at home in terms of the total lack of leadership from the administration, the fact that we can get nothing done because they're obsessed with these with covering up for these scandals.
And you know what I find interesting, Nico, is I'm not hearing the howling that I expected to hear from the other side of the aisle. I'm not hearing the Republicans howling closing up ranks around Karl Rove and Scuta.
I think right now they are as nervous as anyone. You can't look at what the you know, what we do know about the grand jury investigation, which is that they feel like they've got something big on their hands, and beat you, you know, you can't look at that and then go off and defend in the strongest terms these Bush administration officials, because if it ends up that they're indicted, then, you know, it's all over you. The mud's all over you, too. I think a lot of these politicians are frightened about the corruption that's already been discovered in terms of Tom DeLay.
Mm-hmm.
They know the Iraq War is more unpopular than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have elections right around the corner.
Right around the corner. Right around the corner. And the other part of there's the lying component of this as well. But there's also the fact that we're not talking about lower echelon people. We're talking about top of the food chain. The right-hand person to Cheney, the right-hand person to George W. Bush, and these are the leakers. You know, it stops there. It's either them or George Bush.
Yeah. I mean, and that's another, you know, one of the things that isn't said often enough but is absolutely true, and reporters are actually finally starting to ask it, and I doubt they'll ever get an answer, but this whole deal, we could end the grand jury investigation tomorrow. All President Bush would have to do is call in Karl Rove, call in Scooter Libby, and say, look, give me your absolute honest details about what happened, what you did, and if you don't, you're fired, and you know, I'll turn you over, and if you do, and, you know, you did break the law and leak this person's name, then again, you know, I'll turn you over. It's very simple, and President Bush could end it tomorrow, today.
Well, actually, and Nico, what he could do is he could rely upon Executive Order 12958, and
Oh yeah.
I mean, he could do away with them under that order right now.
Exactly. I know. I mean, that's another thing that needs to be repeated is that.
Okay, and we have to take a break because
sure.
When we come back, I want to talk about this letter from Congressman Waxman and this Executive Order 12958. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're talking about what else? Corruption in the White House. We'll be back.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline New York. Media mogul Rupert Murdoch presses on with his attempt to dominate the global media. His news corporation has now purchased Intermix Media, an internet company, for a price of just under $600 million. Last week, Murdoch's company says it was setting up an internet division for the company's websites. Intermix owns MySpace.com, which is an online meeting place, and other sites that offer games and online greeting cards. Murdoch says the internet is the fastest growing outlet for advertising. MySpace is reported to be the fifth most viewed website on the entire planet. And Dateline Philadelphia. Governors of numerous states say trying to comply with the driver's license aspects of the new Real ID Act will be a costly nightmare for all states. Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell says it's going to cost his state $100 million or more to make it happen. The Real ID Act calls for states to verify whether people who apply for licenses are American citizens or legal residents of the United States. Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee says the federal government is turning driver's licenses into a national ID card and will triple or quadruple the cost that residents will have to pay for them. He says the feds want to turn his motor vehicle clerks into immigration officials and FBI agents when their starting pay is less than $10 an hour. Bill Richardson, governor of New Mexico, says the law defeats its own purpose because if you deny illegal immigrants a driver's license, you make it harder for agencies to keep track of them. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hi, I'm Brian Kay, sales manager at WGNU Radio. Right now, you're hearing my voice. What you could be hearing is yours, telling people about your business. Call me during regular business hours at 314-454-6660, and let me show you how effective and affordable radio ads can be on WGNU and how they can bring new customers to you. Once again, that's Brian Kay at 314-454-6660. We can replace this ad with yours.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
To find out the answer to that long-standing question, ask the doc. Dr. Pat, that is. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to noon, call in and talk to Dr. Pat about whatever's on your mind. So if you're wondering, what's up, doc? Find out for 2 hours every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon with Dr. Pat here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. But if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. It's the mass, I've got to rise up. You got to rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up, oh. Rise up, oh.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and don't forget we are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. We broadcast from Xenia to Zimbabwe on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Check out my website at lizbrown.com and email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. We are talking this morning to Nico Pitney. He's the Progress Report Researcher for the Center for American Progress. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. We are talking about, of course, the Plain story, the Valerie Plain story, what they knew, when they knew it, how they knew it. This is a story that, again, it is, I wonder if this is going to be the eye of the political storm, of the perfect storm that takes this administration out the way that they came in. They cheated on their way in, and they cheated and got kicked out. That would be almost serendipitous. We're talking about Scooter Libby. We're talking about Karl Rove. We're talking about George W. Bush, and we're talking about Dick Cheney. And our guest again is Nico Pitney. Nico, welcome back. Nico, good morning. Welcome back.
Hi.
We were talking about, before the break, we were talking about a memo, a letter actually sent to George W. Bush, written by Henry Waxman. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. Waxman's letter basically just outlined what is in this booklet called the Classified Information Non-Disclosure Agreement. The basic fact there is that it doesn't matter whether Rove actually spoke her name or answered her name, answered a question and revealed her identity there.
Or pantomimed her name or
put up a sign.
Doesn't matter.
The responsibility of people who have classified access to classified information is that before disseminating the information anywhere, they have to confirm the accuracy of what appears in a public source. So if he got it from a journalist and believed that, you know, the information had gone public, he would still have to confirm that it was classified. And even if he confirmed it through, revealed the information by affirming a claim by a journalist. So if the journalist said, yeah, I heard Valerie Payne was a CIA operative, and he said, yeah, I heard that too, even that would be considered against the rules of classified information.
Because it's revealing.
Yeah.
Confirming is revealing.
I mean, it seems very, very basic.
Now, we have two journalists, one journalist that didn't go to jail and one journalist, Miller, that did. Miller's not really that well-liked out there, is she?
No. I mean, in large part because she carried water for the administration. In the lead-up to the war, she was the most prominent journalist to repeat many of the claims from Ahmad Chalabi and the Iraqi National Congress, which ended up turning out to be blatant lies, and which Chalabi admitted were blatant lies and was proud of. They ended up being so convincing that they led the nation into war.
And she was famous for using those unnamed sources as the reasons for the stories that she wrote.
Exactly.
So it's kind of ironic that now she's being, in some camps, being held up as some kind of like hero or heroine for the First Amendment, when a lot of people talk about how unethical she was in the stories that she wrote.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a difficult debate. I certainly understand people who realize that the protection of sources is absolutely essential, and many times, perhaps most times, it's used rightfully and to allow individuals with important information who would risk, you know, their careers or their lives if people knew who revealed it. But on the other hand, this is almost the exact opposite case, because what you have is a whistleblower being punished by government officials, being attacked, and in doing so, having committed a crime, and she's, you know, in a sense, protecting them by not revealing who told her the information.
And isn't it a fact, Nico, that there's no absolute immunity for anything? There are exceptions to every immunity rule. And the First Amendment right that she's talking about, or the protection of the press under these circumstances, it's not an absolute.
The case upon which the ruling, you know, sending her to prison essentially was based, basically says, you know, the First Amendment right is a basic fundamental right of our democracy, but there is, you know, another basic principle in our democracy, and which is that we use this system of justice that we've developed to figure out the truth. Mm-hmm. And if she refuses to play along, it's another serious rift.
And we have to go back to who she was carrying water for, how ardently she carried their water, and then you have to ask the question of, what does she know? She must know some serious stuff.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, if you read, I think this is really important, and it hasn't gotten a lot of press, but if you read the decision, the opinion by the judges in the case that she was in, one of the judges says, and I've got it here in front of me, and I'll just read it really quickly. He says, were the leak at issue in this case less harmful to national security, I might have supported the motion to quash, to allow her to refuse to give up her sources. But he says it's so harmful to national security what's been done that I can't do it. And the reason why this, him saying it, is so important is because he, unlike virtually anyone else commenting publicly, has seen all of the classified information that, or the vast majority that the grand jury has. Mm. So he knows exactly what's at stake here.
And we can't underscore this enough. This is not a casual thing. This is breaking the cover of an undercover of a spy for the United States.
Who was working on weapons of mass destruction. You know, ironically, one of the primary reasons that we went to war in the first place.
I've seen a couple of websites out there that had memos on it of the talking points that the Republicans or the defenders, apologists for this administration, should start, barking out.
Yeah.
The husband of Valerie Plame, that he really wasn't, we really didn't send him to Africa, and a couple of other of just crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing to know about these talking points and about the folks who are out there spouting them, and one of the most important things, is that as an ABC journalist mentioned in the press briefing to Scott McClellan, many of these are probably straight from Karl Rove, which completely blows up the White House claim that they're not commenting on this case. They certainly are commenting. They're just doing it in a roundabout way by sending their message points to others.
And as a person that has watched the media, the larger media, just cow before this administration to ignore the criminal acts of this administration and to not challenge just obvious stuff, it feels good to see them. They kind of have an attitude about not being told this information about Karl Rove, right?
Oh, I know. I mean, I think a lot of the reason this story is finally getting the attention it deserves is not just because I think the vast majority of journalists were sympathetic to Cooper and Miller and didn't want to see them go to jail and so are, somewhat upset about that, but then also to have firm proof that that White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan lied to them in their face repeatedly, and now, once he gets caught in a lie, refuses to say a single word about it. This just must outrage them.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, just to say, on the flip side, unfortunately, the media is also, and, unsurprisingly, they're also letting conservatives restate all the spin and all the lies that were already discussed when this first became a story, when the grand jury investigation was announced and it became a story again, and now again. I mean, these are the stuff about Wilson, the smears against Wilson have been dealt with two times already, and now they're being dealt with again because the media has apparently no memory.
Or the apologists out there that will just bark whatever they tell them to bark. And I want to thank you so much, Nico Pitney, Progress Report researcher, Center for American Progress. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Senator Arlen Specter, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, confirms to ABC News he went to the White House last night to meet with President Bush.
I did not go to the White House incognito, so it was apparent that I was there. But I'm sure you'll understand if it's the sort of thing I can't talk about.
The sort of thing the senator won't talk about is whether he conferred with the president over the Supreme Court vacancy. Sources